These surveillance videos are from a case prosecuted by Hennepin County. They show parents checking their kids into a center only to leave with them a few minutes later. Sometimes no children would show up. But either way, the center would bill the state for a full day of child care. This video from that same case shows a man handing out envelopes of what are believed to be kickback payments to parents who are in on the fraud.
Where was the money going?
I don't know exactly where it went.
While Soros judges continue to spit at justice for the Somalian fraud piracy that has escalated across the United States for years,
she acknowledges in her order that fraud was rampant in this case, and it was clearly out of control. She couldn't believe the level to which fraud was allowed to be able to be perpetrated. And then it comes to bear that she lets him off because she felt as though somebody else should have been to blame that wasn't the owner of the company.
And the worthless dinosaur media psyop plays their loaded deck of race cards.
The Somali immigrant population may have been involved in some way. Those people are being scapegoated, and that community is being scapegoated in a way that certainly serves the far right.
Now, listen to where this phone number goes to when you call this child care center.
Thank you for contacting the office of Governor Tim Walz and Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan.
You don't even need to get on a plane to investigate. You can do it from your computer. I tried it out myself, and lo and behold.
Thank you for contacting the office of Governor Tim Walz and Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan.
In Washington State, 539 of about 5,000 licensed care centers are Somali-run, many lacking a physical address and some posting that they are open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I called many of them, and it simply went to generic voicemail.
Please leave your message for 425. Please leave your message for 20. All has been forwarded to voicemail. The person you're trying to reach is not available.
The fraud has found safe harbor in Democratic strongholds across the United States in many forms.
Gateway was billing for services they did not provide and billing for services that MainCare does not cover. DHHS also confirmed to us how much MainCare paid Gateway between the years of 2019 and 2024. It's about $4 to $5 million each year. A total of more than $28 million. And this third audit falls right in the middle of that time frame.
The company's founder and CEO, Abdullahi Ali, Somali-American, who while at the time serving as executive director for Gateway, last year ran for president, which is essentially governor of Jubaland, a state in Somalia south of borders Kenya.
Christopher, how long had this been going on? You were at Gateway for quite some time. How long do you think this has been going on, this fraud?
It was there from 2018 to recently 2025. And I hadn't realized about the audit that had been completed in 2018. So before I even got there, they were complicit in some of this stuff.
My name is John Featherston. I'm a former migrant shelter director in Massachusetts. I helped out in a couple different sites. Everything is free.
How much is given for rides for Uber and Lyft?
The amount of money that we would spend on Ubers and Lyft was well in excess of $100,000 a month.
A month?
So these individuals tried to report the fraud that was happening in Ohio and then eventually came to me to say that we're watching providers. So you could sit at home without caring for an elderly parent who really doesn't need it, make about $75,000 to $90,000 a year. Now you add two parents, that's $180,000. Now you add your in-laws, $250,000. You continue to add this and you wonder, what are the services being provided? So a lot of providers came and said, fraud is occurring because we said we weren't going to rubber stamp this paperwork, so they went to other providers. Their home health care network saying, we'll make it worth your while. Well, sounds like a kickback to me.
What if the whole reason Tim Walz was chosen because he had access to all these billions of dollars in fraud and the Kamala Harris campaign knew it?
If you have specific evidence or concerns about fraud in programs like Medicaid, welfare, SNAP, housing, or federal aid, you can report anonymously to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office of the Inspector General at the internet address on your screen, or you can call 1-800-HHS-TIPS, 1-800.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Well, good morning and welcome to the American Journal. It is the final day of 2025. We have a big show planned for you. Welcome, of course. A lot going on over here, so we're excited that you're all jumping on board with us today. Like I said, final day of 2025, so if you haven't gotten in something you were going to do this year, well, you got a couple more hours to do just that. Buckle up, folks. We got a big show planned for you today. A lot of great guests joining me and a lot of fraud we're going to be calling out in just a little bit. The president, though, on his schedule today, just one thing. That's it. He'll be at Mar-a-Lago today celebrating New Year's Eve at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. And that is all he has on his agenda. So he's kicking off the new year with new and good vibes. And speaking of that, today on this show, we have an incredible lineup of people joining us because in case you missed it, there was a lot of bombshells dropped yesterday in regards to the J6 pipe bomber suspects. So we're very excited to have Joe Hanneman joining me today. He's one of the incredible journalists over at The Blaze, and he'll be with us breaking down the very latest in regards to that. Plus, we'll also be joined by Michael Patrick Leahy. Now, many of you guys know, he is the CEO of Tennessee Star. He is pretty much the only reporter who has been on that devastating mass shooting in Tennessee at that Christian school, as many of you guys know, the Nashville shooting. And there's new new documents that are being released, I should specifically say, and it has to do with the shooter and their manifesto. The manifesto the FBI didn't want you to see. Well, you'll never guess what the motive is, of course, and I say that sarcastically because the FBI did an incredible job at covering for those involved, so we'll discuss that in just a little bit. We'll also be discussing kind of like the best moments of 2025, Liz Harrington joining us. She is the former spokesperson for President Donald Trump, and she's got a little recap that she wants to get into as well. So we got a lot to talk about in just a little bit. So let's kick things off. First things first, let's talk about the fraud, because as many of you guys know, over these last few days, the fraud in Minnesota is getting finally called out. Now, it's been something that a lot of local news reporters have been digging into or learning just that, but Nick Shirley did release a video over the weekend, and it completely exploded online with over 100 million views. And now people are calling a lot of simple things into question, including our friend Nick Sorter. Nick Sorter made his way to Minnesota yesterday outside of a very popular learning center. It was the center, I guess I should say, of the controversy over the weekend because they couldn't spell the word learning properly. Well, now all of a sudden they're making some changes over there. Take a listen to clip one.
It's about a quarter past 10 out here outside the Quality Learning Center on a Tuesday night. Got 10 Somalis out here trying to fix their misspelled street name. We'll see how much success they have there.
You got this guy back here is going to continue pacing around. He's already got several photos of my license plate. I don't know what he's going to do with that. But
later.
They didn't quite finish the job changing out the sign. I guess I interrupted there. I'm in a public parking lot here. I'm not on their property.
Hey, man, do you want to have a chat?
Okay, I was just saying you were taking pictures of me, so I was just...
Yeah, you were taking pictures of me.
Yeah, no, I think it's good. I'm glad you're finally changing the sign. You're going to change it to actually what it's spelled as. You want to say your name? I know. I'm on the sidewalk. You want me to pose for you? I guess you guys can do this just about all night. You don't open until, what, 2 o'clock tomorrow? Is that what it is? The daycare center? 2 o'clock?
Hey!
Huh? What'd you say? Huh? Oh, you don't want to talk now. All right. No, I was just curious. How many people do you need to change the letter on the sign? What time is it now? 10:30? Almost 10:30. Out here on this Tuesday night. You got me. Unlike you guys, I'm not wearing a mask. I don't have to hide my identity. You got plenty of pictures of my rental car license plate, though, so I'm happy for you on that one.
All right, obviously, they weren't too welcoming of our good friend Nick Sorter.
I was just minding my own business. You guys.
Looking to expose all of that, Nick Sorter doing an incredible job. And we're thankful for him getting there, of course, catching those moments when they finally make the name change. But folks, that's something they didn't want you to see. They didn't want you to see that. They didn't want you to see the truth of what they're actually doing here. You see, and these are all allegations, of course, let's just say that. But it's quite obvious there's something very strange going on here. The fact that all of these men at 10:30 at night are going out there on a Tuesday night to change this sign because they're embarrassed. That they can't spell the word learning, right? Learning. It's literally all they're supposed to be doing is teaching kids, and they can't even spell the word learning. It's obviously absurd, but that's the reason behind all of this. But at least the Somalian community is unified on one thing, and that's when one of theirs is allegedly accused of fraud, they all jump in to pretend like everything is A-okay. And we've seen that there's been kind of a parade of cars making their way over to the learning center now, which is quite fascinating given the fact that according to the original reports, it was quite empty previously, although they claim that it was outside of their operating hours, which apparently are 2 to 10 o'clock at night, which would be normal for a daycare center, of course. One parent in clip 2, well, this mother claims apparently that her kids go to the learning center. Take a listen.
I talked to a mother dropping off her kids.
I take my kids here 2 o'clock to 10. Yeah, there's a lot of kids inside.
Ah, there's a lot of kids inside. That's the good news. You might not see them. You might not see the cars, drop them off, but they're there. They're there. It's so crazy when you think about it, but that's the idea. They don't want you to think about this. They're feeding you, spoon feeding you BS. They want you to believe it. If you don't believe it, you're a racist. We'll get to that in a little bit. But DHS now says that they have hundreds of agents on the ground, and they're asking the tough questions, trying to dig into the fraud, allegedly. Take a listen to their spokesperson who made an appearance on Fox. Her name is Trisha McLaughlin. She's an incredible spokeswoman, though. I really have to give her credit there. But she's claiming that DHS has agents, hundreds of them on the ground right now. Take a listen to clip 3.
Our Homeland Security investigators, hundreds are on the ground. They're knocking doors. They're going to local businesses. They're going to these sites where we believe that there is rampant fraud, whether it be daycare centers, healthcare centers, or other organizations that take taxpayer dollars. Our Homeland Security investigators on the ground are also seeing that these suspected perpetrators are really trying to cover their tracks. They're trying to whitewash the operational facts on the ground, purporting to be a legitimate business, have legitimate business operations, when it's all a fugazi. So we're going to continue to ask those questions. We're learning more and more, especially with the FBI and our DOJ partners on the ground.
That's what you want to hear. You want to hear that from DHS. They're actually sending in their agents and taking this very, very seriously. And again, although these are just accusations right now, it seems like DHS knows something's going on here. Now, how widespread is this? Well, if you watch the internet, obviously it looks very widespread. But we'll have to see where the investigation obviously takes them. And we truly do hope that they are being honest here and they do truly look into all of these cases. And speaking of just that, DHS also confirming to Fox News that they are actively auditing immigration cases for a lot of these Somalians who have come into the United States. They're looking for fraud there as well. Did you hear that, Ilhan Omar? Buckle up, lady. Now, hopefully this leads to something, but I won't oversell you, of course. They would warrant potential denaturalization if they do find that they have lied. That's according to Fox News's Bill Mnuchin. And they would also audit cases for migrants from 18 other countries of concern. So again, things are starting to get good. It looks like the Trump administration understands that there is an issue here and that the American people want answers. In fact, most Americans who are watching this on social media play out before their very own eyes want these questions answered, and they want them answered immediately. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. We have sat here and welcomed in people to our country, and by we, I mean the globalists, the communists, people that are on a mission to destroy this country, have flooded us with immigrants from countries that we don't want into this country because, yes, they do hate us. And yes, they don't have skill sets to bring forward. In fact, when the Somalian population is best known for Somalian pirates and nothing else, I would say probably should tread lightly on, you know, importing them into our country. I mean, there's no other way to word this. And given the fact that we have seen and there are criminal complaints that's claimed that these Somalians, when they are charged, they are trying to bribe the jury. Well, since they were caught trying to bribe the jury, one could only assume that it's not just the jury, that it's other people that they're also bribing. Because, folks, with 100,000 Somalians in Minnesota of a population close to 6 million, why is it that politicians really do, I guess we could just say, pander to these people would be the kind of best way to do it. They sit there, they go out there, they change their flag, they hold all these events, they get these interpreters, they speak directly to the Somalian community. When it's, again, 100,000 compared to the 6 million, nearly 6 million people who live in the States, again, there's a reason for all of this. That's the reason why they're out there defending them every day. I'm sure if you comb through their finances, you might actually realize that there's some money that they're taking in. And it's likely not going to be a digital record because it looks like they have been shuffling cash through. We reported, thanks to the great work of Liz Collins, that they have allegedly been taking millions of dollars in suitcases back to their homeland. That was according to a TSA whistleblower. So again, you're not going to see any type of financial transactions that are going to be hard financial transactions of money being transferred around. It's going to be cash. AKA, you're going to have to start raiding some homes if you really want to dig into this issue. But do they truly want to get to that level? Because then you have to expose the corruption within the Democratic Party. Because again, there's only one real party pushing for all of this. And it's been extensive for the last few years now. So keep that in mind. Now let's switch up gears a little bit too and talk about what happens when you sit there and you call out the one demographic that is at large committing a lot of fraud in this country. And when, you know, there's like over 90 indictments and 80 of them are Somalian, it's fair to call it out. And it's fair to say that they are Somalian. But again, if you're someone who doesn't want to get called out on this, you're going to play the victim card. And in clip four, that's exactly what happened when a Muslim man confronted Nick Shirley, what appears to be yesterday. And well, he wasn't happy when Nick was in his community because he says Nick is just a racist. Take a listen.
You don't want you here. Okay. Change the Constitution. Okay. But guess what? Let me tell you something. Guess
say
what?
It. Say it. We're asking about
you
fraud.
You know, you are, you, what
we're
you do,
fraud.
You hate Muslims.
I'm not saying I hate,
you hate Muslims. You know you hate fraud. Muslims. Why are you attacking us? Are we the fraud. Only community that suffers because of fraud?
We're talking about fraud.
Are we the only community that does fraud? Are we the only community that does this?
Okay. This is about fraud.
All right, but there's what, 300 Somali this providers in all of Minnesota?
There's actually
800. I'm not, don't touch me.
Don't go close.
Do you speak English? Your security doesn't even speak English. Listen, let me tell you something.
See, this is an erased issue, sir.
Let me
tell you
something.
This is about fraud.
We have, what, 1,000 providers?
Yeah, you guys have a...
Even it's 2,000 providers.
Okay,
you want to sacrifice the safety of 80,000 people because of 2,000 providers? Are you f***ing mad? Are you stupid?
I'm not stupid, you're stupid.
You're sensationalizing. What about if a mass shooting happens in Minnesota? It will be because of you. It will be because of you. If any Somali gets hurt in Minnesota, it's because of Nick Shirley. If any Somali, if one single Somali gets hurt, it's because of you. Sensationalizes, you son of a bitch. Sensationalizes. Get the f*** out of our neighborhood. Get the f*** out of our neighborhood. Get the f*** out of our neighborhood. We don't want you here.
Oh, your neighborhood.
Get the f***. Say, I want to change the Constitution.
No, I don't.
And I want to change freedom of religion. And I don't want Muslim Somalis in Minnesota. Kick them out. I was born in this country. You have to take the passport away from me.
Relax.
That is what you are arguing for.
We're not talking.
Change the Constitution. Get the f*** out of my community.
Now, Now, obviously, this individual is deranged, and he's trying to pin Nick Shirley as a racist because you don't have the actual facts on your side, so you have to get emotional, upset, and call him out for it. But the reality of it is, well, if you don't like it, tell your people to go back. Tell your people to go back. Well, they can't go back because the reality of it is they came here to commit massive amounts of fraud, and they need us. They need us. In fact, if we're going to probably scope through all of it, you probably realize that the Somalian government itself relies on our stolen money to survive. You see, they're not just sitting here, and obviously, as you see their outfits, you see how they carry themselves, you see their homes, they don't look up to date, they don't look cleanly. Chances are that money is not staying put for their individual wealth. In fact, it's very likely that it's being shifted and sent overseas. So what's going to happen now? Is the government really going to do all the digging into this? Because then you have to expose that a country was able to send its people here, potentially, and ship back millions of dollars. Again, Liz Collins had someone on her show who detailed just that, a former TSA agent who claimed, we played that clip for you, claimed that the money was being sent back. And it was cash. And it was loaded by the millions in suitcases. And it's not just there. Everyone else is starting to do the digging into all of this now. News Nation doing just that. They're also going after those in assisted living homes as well. Not the actual people, because there's really no people there, but they're specifically tunneling in on these one specific assisted living facility that apparently is still taking in patients, but its owner allegedly is involved in that. Remember that massive fraudulent food COVID scheme that was going on? Well, apparently for over $1 million, this individual's wrapped up into that and is currently being indicted. But News Nation found out that no, that person didn't get cut off financially. In fact, they now have this set, well, they have several, according to News Nation, assisted living facilities. And in fact, they're claiming that that person is currently under indictment for defrauding the state for millions of dollars. Well, they're actually still being paid by the state. Take a listen to clip five.
This may look like your typical single family home, but it bills itself as an assisted living facility, and it receives a lot of taxpayer money. Here in Minnesota, the number of people getting help in assisted living facilities is up, double the growth of other programs. But here's the kicker. The rate of payment in this assisted living space is 10 to 15 times the growth in other programs.
Hi.
So we pulled the data on assisted living facilities in the Minneapolis area. Minneapolis, as you might expect, has a lot, 169. St. Paul, with a population of 307,000, has 83. But Brooklyn Center, 30,000 population, has 106. And Brooklyn Park, population of 84,000, has 181, more than Minneapolis, a city five times its size. But this assisted living facility puts this all in perspective. It's owned by a man indicted for laundering $1 million in the Feeding Our Future scam. He's Gandhi Mohammed, now Gandhi Abdi Kadai, and his LLC owns the homes. His wife runs the assisted living facilities, and the state is continuing to pay as he awaits his trial. Okay. We went to each of them.
We're curious because the man who owns this building was indicted in the Feeding Our Future scandal. Did you know that?
No.
Don't know that?
No. You think what?
Do you know the Feeding Our Future scandal? This the scam that was, there's all these indictments related to false, you know, billing on feeding children.
No, that's not true.
That it's not true?
It's not true. The way I know that, no.
These assisted living facilities received over $2.3 million in state money last year alone. A Minnesota Reformer article says he has been paid a whopping $49 million since 2016.
How is it possible that this person who's been indicted in Feeding Our Future also is still collecting checks from the state running these assisted living centers with his wife?
I honestly have no idea.
And as many of you guys know, it's been an ongoing issue, something that is worth fighting for, worth debating, worth calling out. It's obviously a long-term issue, but folks, it's good that we finally got the mainstream media talking about it. Again, there was the one, and I'll give you credit when credit's due, there was a one local news station back in January 2025 of this year, obviously, but was going out there knocking on these doors and doing just that. But this issue is worth the national attention it's getting. These people need to be called out for what they are doing. Because once you start turning the light to it, guess what? politicians, public officials, they're forced to answer these tough questions. They're forced to go, all right, we have to do something about this. And that's exactly what's happening right now. We're going to go to clip 7 because clip 7 was an announcement that came out yesterday from HHS. And in fact, they're claiming that they're going to be halting the payments to all child care facilities in Minnesota. Hopefully it doesn't end there, of course, but take a listen specifically as to what they're requesting.
Today, we have taken 3 direct actions against the blatant fraud that seems to be rampant in Minnesota. First, I have activated our Defend the Spend system for all ACF childcare payments across America. Starting today, we require a justification, receipt, or photo evidence before we make a payment. Second, I have just signed and sent a demand letter to Governor Walz. I required a full 360 review of these centers. This includes attendance records, licenses, complaints, investigations, and inspections.
And third, we've launched a dedicated fraud reporting hotline and email address at childcare.gov. Whether you're a parent, a provider, a member of the public, we want to hear from you. Let me be crystal clear. ACF expects every state to uphold the highest standards of oversight, monitoring, and accountability for federal dollars. Minnesota is no exception.
We're committed to holding bad actors accountable. Regardless of rank or office, anyone who's involved in perpetrating this fraud against the American people should expect to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law.
Now, let's hope that's true, and let's hope they keep their word, because, folks, enough is enough, and we know that this isn't just daycare facilities. We know this issue is widespread, and they are ripping off our system. Now, imagine if you're a parent struggling to get by right now, and you're struggling to get daycare services, and this is what you're up against. I'd be infuriated for those parents as well. Obviously, those parents are really ticked off, and there's just no excuse for this anymore. These programs were put into place to help Americans and Americans only, and for the scumbags that are taking advantage of them, they should rot in prison. Speaking of rotting in prison, I want to shift gears a little bit because President Trump just posted something on Truth Social that I think is worth your attention. President Trump saying, God bless Tina Peters, who is now, for 2 years out of 9, sitting in a Colorado maximum security prison at the age of 73 and sick for the crime of trying to stop massive voter fraud that was going on in her state. That's what the president just posted right now on Truth Social. He also added, hard to wish her a happy new year, but to the scumbag governor and the disgusting Republican rhino DA who did this to her, he goes on to saying, nothing happens to Dems for their phony mail-in ballot system that makes it impossible for Republicans to win an otherwise very winnable state. I wish them nothing. Sorry, it says, I wished them only the worst. And may they rot in hell. Free Tina Peters. You know, that's a great message heading into the new year for sure. May they rot in hell and free Tina Peters. One message we could all get behind. Tina Peters sitting in prison right now for what they deem as a crime, which she was trying her very best to expose the election fraud and become a whistleblower. But unfortunately for her, the system worked against her. And now she's sitting behind bars for 9 years and the president can't really do much. It's really just disgusting overall. This woman's a patriot. She does not deserve to be in prison, but President Trump putting that message out yet again. Hopefully he starts pulling some federal funding because that is necessary at this point. Folks, I want to just give you a little bit of an update. You know, yesterday I told you there was only a couple more hours left in the buy one, get one free sale over at the alexjonesstore.com. That was on select supplements. Well, they've just actually extended that sale for a couple more hours. So if you'd like, because it's very popular, so that's why we're extending this, but if you'd like to support us, obviously, here over at InfoWars, as well as working on your New Year's resolution of getting healthier, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com, and let's help you get there. It's buy one, get one free on select supplements for just a few more hours. It will end soon. And you got to grab yourself some beef tallow. If you haven't tried beef tallow, now is the time to do so. It is the best way to step into the new year and ditch those seed oils over at thealexjonesstore.com.
Tomorrow is the last day to buy any of our incredible supplements at thealexjonesstore.com, the Ultra Methylene Blue, you name it, and get any other supplement free. That means you can buy a $25 supplement and get a $45 supplement free. That's not the normal buy one, get one free at the same time. This is a massive deal. On some of the deals, if you get like more expensive supplement, when you buy one of the inexpensive ones, they're break even or loss leader. AlexJonesApp.com, put that on screen. You get 20% off when you use the app. It's the same shopping cart. So this is crazy, but that's why we can't have these super big sales, because there's got to be some margin of profit there to operate. But we don't mind some lost leaders sometimes because the products are so good. We have an 80-plus percent reorder rate on the methylene blue, 75% reorder on average for the other products. Nobody in the supplement industry has that reorder level. These are all the best. They're either the best certified private label from a company, or we go to and get a top formula and go and make it even better. But most of our products are simply private labels of already number one, five-star certified, the best. I mean, we don't like to reinvent the wheel around here, okay? Whatever's the highest rated, whatever's the most studied, whatever is the best, that is what you're going to get. That's what people get our supplements and say, my God, I used to take turmeric to give me some relief from pain and inflammation. Well, why is yours so much better? Because the average turmeric is food grade 4%. This is 95%. That's why Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, a small amount, by the way, is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, was the first 95% curcuminoid. And we got a 95% curcuminoid at Bigly at TheAlexJonesStore.com. So it's real simple. Our creatine gummies is the highest quality type of creatine there is. Go look it up. You'll look at the name we have. Just ask Rock, is this the best creatine? Say, absolutely. Hands down. Nano concentrated on top of it. I mean, it's just real simple. We treat you like we want to be treated. Plus, we want it to really work so you come back. That's our philosophy. It's real simple. I don't want to sell you something one time. I want a relationship. All I need to do is go to TheAlexJonesStore.com. Why the selection of Patriot apparel? What an adventure to wear it. I need the funds. All this stuff's going on. You see, we're still here because we're fighting them tooth and nail, okay? And if they shut us down, we just go right over to the Alex Jones Network at TheAlexJonesStore.com, also financed, which I don't own, so they can't shut that down. I don't own TheAlexJonesStore.com. Bigly does. I don't own the Alex Jones Network. They do. But I need your support. And let me tell you something. Something like Ultra DNA Revival is an NAD plus booster. And it's got the precursor of NAD, because most people don't absorb NAD. Don't know what that does? Well, you need to look into it. That's just one of the ingredients. Big dose, high-quality organic NAD. The precursor. Because it's the precursor you're able to absorb. Okay? This cleans out your cells. This turbocharges your body. This gives you clarity, energy, focus, makes your telomeres last longer. This goes great with the methylene blue. Also, a ridiculous name, but it actually is true. I didn't come up with a name for this. Ultimate power. we said, hey, make something even better than Turbo Force with natural clean energy without the letdown. This is even stronger than Turbo Force, which was amazing. If you like Turbo Force, get Ultimate Power.
When the robots rise, the skies turn red and the cities burn cold. Circuits hunt the weak and mercy's just a broken code. Only the strong will survive the purge. Only the men of the InfoWar stand ready, armed with truth when the machines bring war.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on board with us today. Michael Patrick Leahy will be joining me in just a moment. So don't go anywhere. There's new details regarding the Nashville shooter that you're going to want to listen in on. But since we just concluded the segment about Somali and fraud, I just got an update regarding what's going on in regards to an investigation and penalties and ways that the current administration is making sure that your money's not being shipped off to Somalia. And we just got the update from the press secretary, Caroline Levitz. She just made an appearance on Fox. So let's get to that right now. Take a listen.
Governor Walz is completely incompetent. He always has been, and President Trump has long called him out for his incompetence and his poor leadership in the great state of Minnesota. I want to commend Nick Shirley for his incredible video in real journalism that went viral this past week. He epitomizes what new media looks like, and that's exactly why we at the White House, under President Trump's direction, have embraced new media journalists like Nick Shirley. We've welcomed them in to the White House press press pool, we invited Nick Shirley to brief the President of the United States at an Antifa roundtable earlier this year. And this fraud in Governor Walz's state in Minnesota is something the Trump administration has been working on since day one. And since Nick Shirley's journalism really brought this issue further to light, we have surged resources across the board to the state. So I want your audience to understand this is a top priority for the administration. The Department of Justice, as we speak, is continuing to execute search warrants and subpoenas. People will be in handcuffs as a result of the fraud that Governor Walz has allowed to occur for many, many years. The Department of Homeland Security is conducting door-to-door investigations on the ground at potential fraud sites. And they are also, of course, conducting continued deportations of illegal aliens in Minnesota's communities. We're also not afraid to use denaturalization. That's a tool at the President and the Secretary of State's disposal, and it's one this administration has previously used before. I know the Health and Human Services Department has also announced we are cutting off all child care funding to the state of Minnesota until we get to the bottom of this fraud. The Department of Labor is investigating their unemployment insurance program. The Department of USDA Agriculture Secretary Rollins weeks ago sent a letter to Governor Walz demanding he turn over every single name of SNAP recipients on the books in Minnesota. And the Minnesota Attorney General actually sued the Trump administration for that. What are they hiding?
Yeah, so as you can see, the Trump administration taking this one on, and we hope that this leads to something. We've seen enough of the fraud, of course. President Trump also just tweeting out shortly ago that, Governor Walz is a crooked governor. And he makes that very, very clear in a Truth Social post. All right, let's switch gears up a bit. Let's turn to a topic we've covered extensively on this show, but even more extensively over at the Tennessee Star. They've done an incredible job at digging into the Nashville shooting. As many of you guys know, the shooting was obviously a transgender shooter who targeted Christian children. Now, we're learning more and more about all of this. And, of course, the FBI's efforts to bury the most important pieces of information that would disclose motive. Joining me to discuss the latest is Michael Patrick Leahy. He's the CEO of the Tennessee Star, as well as the Star News Network. And he joins us now. He has been the real fighter in making sure that the FBI is held accountable and shows us what they have. And so obviously it's an honor to have him on the program yet again. Michael, I wanted to get to the latest news because yesterday we saw a little piece of Aubrey's writing, and this one discloses what many are now saying is the motive behind all of this. You know, she didn't really like white people, or he didn't really like white people. I forgot which one she was naturally, but her biological gender. But they didn't like white people, and they made it very clear in their writings that they did not like white people. So what do you make of this latest one? Because they also call out the black community and call out their suffering. It's quite confusing.
Audrey Elizabeth Hale, biological female who self-identified as a transgender male, in March of 2023, stepped into her former elementary school, Covenant Christian School, and murdered 3 9-year-olds and 3 staff members. We've been trying to get all of her writings since then. Our efforts in state court have not been successful yet. We're going to win on appeal there. But in federal court, when we sued the FBI in federal court. The Biden administration did nothing, resisted it. But when Trump came in, the Cash Patel FBI has in fact given us now, as of Monday, about 1,500 pages of her 2,000 pages of writings. The big news on Monday, we got 232 pages from the FBI on Monday, because of our lawsuit and because of the cooperation of Cash Patel in putting this stuff out to us. They confirmed what we'd reported a year and a half ago, that the killer, Audrey Elizabeth Hale, purchased her guns with Pell Grant student loan money from the federal government. And right in those documents, she wrote, received $2,050 from NOSSI, N-O-S-S-I, that's the art college that she attended here in Nashville that had received the Pell Grant money, and they gave her, after they covered some of their expenses, they gave her $2,000 of that money, and she used that to buy the guns. Now, why is that important? Why is this resonated? It resonated because Americans are sick and tired of taxpayer money going to purposes of which they don't approve. It was a small amount in the case of Audrey Elizabeth Hale. It's billions of dollars in the burgeoning Somali fraud situation in Minnesota.
Yeah. And I think Americans have had enough of seeing this all. And, you know, I do have a sense of relief, though, and I kind of want to get into this a bit, too, as you just mentioned, and you're open to all of this. The role the FBI is now playing in this, you know, I'm quite aware whenever I'd reach out under the Biden regime, I did not get a lot of answers back, and I had to sue and file several lawsuits against several agencies. And then as soon as the turnover happened at TSA, for example, TSA did hand over those documents to me. So let's talk about what you've now received, as you've received hundreds of pages now from this new FBI. Let's go into a little bit of detail on that, because I think it's incredible that they've given that to you, because I know as somebody who files these FOIA requests that it's extremely hard to get any of these government agencies to hand things over. So what else are you learning?
Yeah. In this case, obviously the fact confirming our reporting from a year and a half ago, that she used the Pell Grant money to buy these guns. Also, her motivation was quite clear. She chose not to target the middle school that she'd attended because it was primarily black, and she didn't want to hurt the black community, she said. And also, she didn't want to inspire white racist shooters. That's exactly in her language. But she chose to go after her former elementary school because it was Christian, and she said, in her words, she hates religion. There you go. She targeted white Christian kids.
Yeah, and that was something that the Biden administration hid from us, and they wanted to make sure that the American people didn't know. And so I think it's important that we do know this. Why do you think they were so aggressive? I mean, you sued, and you're still suing. I remember we covered your story, too. I had you on my podcast when we were talking about the left-wing judge, the one who's an advocate for a lot of left-leaning causes, and we found it all throughout her social media posts. So you've been fighting this battle for quite some time. The cover-up's been massive. But why do you think they didn't want us to know what her motives were here?
Yeah, well, there's two elements to the cover-up. The Biden-era FBI and Department of Justice, that has been addressed with the election of Donald Trump and the confirmation of Kash Patel as director of the FBI. But here in Metro Nashville, our state case continues on. We lost in the trial court on very specious arguments put forward by the trust of the parents of the students at Covenant. Some of them had been were victims, some were not, where they made the ludicrous claim that all of these writings were copyrighted and therefore couldn't be released. The left-wing judge, the one who tried to put me in jail but wasn't able to do so, bought that argument. In October of this year, we went to the appeals court and appealed that ruling. We're going to get a decision from the appeals court probably next month. We're going to win that one, I'm pretty sure. And then a lot of information from Metro Nashville Police Department beyond what has been released by the FBI will be released to us. We think we're going to find a lot of information that Metro Nashville Police Department, a blue city, that they don't want reported will come out. Remember their report, they claimed that she was not mentally ill, which she was, that they weren't quite sure of what her motive was. Well, hatred of white Christians was part of her motive.
Yeah. And, you know, Michael, when we talk about this, too, my heart goes to the victims, their families, obviously. You know, they were shunned from finding out what the motives here were. And sadly, for the parents who lost their children, I can't even imagine what the burden emotionally has been for them all. Yeah. Well, can you talk a little bit about that? Because I would imagine these parents have emotional distress. Yeah.
Of course. I mean, just think about it. I mean, they're 9-year-olds murdered 2.5 years ago. And those children, they will never grow up with their families. It's very, very sad, very tragic. And the reason all of these documents need to be released, because we don't want to have this happen again. That's the whole purpose. Why did this happen? What was the motivation? What were they covering up? Our efforts to obtain all these documents are absolutely in the public interest. And I think the FBI has realized that under Donald Trump and Kash Patel. And I think ultimately the Tennessee appeals court and perhaps the Tennessee State Supreme Court will agree with us on that. And we'll get all of the Metro Nashville Police Department files. And I think they're worried because it's going to reveal, I think, things that are not flattering to Metro Nashville Police Department.
Yeah, yeah. And we do hope that there's oversight here that holds these individuals accountable. You know, Michael, you've been following this extensively through the time that's kind of been in between all of this, between the Biden administration, the Trump administration, and then what local authorities have done to these families. You would be someone who would know best. What can be done now moving forward on a federal level to prevent this from happening to others? Because, yes, you've put up a great fight in regards to creating this transparency that they didn't want to happen. But we need to make sure this doesn't happen again. So what do you think needs to be done?
Well, actually, let me go to the state level. There's one element that we reported on, and that is in the investigation and the documents we obtained legally. The lead reporter, the lead investigator, Bobby Samuels, secured a warrant and via subpoena obtained documents from Vanderbilt Medical Center, which showed that a medical professional was aware that Audrey Elizabeth Hale wanted to kill do a mass shooting and kill her father. They had a duty to warn. They didn't follow that duty. We reported this in June of 2024. There's a statute of limitations for liability for that, which extends just for 1 year. That statute of limitations has now come and gone. That needs to be extended to 3 years. That's one of the things the Tennessee General Assembly should do.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, that's really important. That really is. And Michael, before we go, because we got some extra time, I know you've also been covering, we had you on too, my podcast to discuss this story in regards to Kilmar Garcia. Now, he's someone who obviously is still in the courts. And, you know, I figured since we still have some time here, maybe give us an update in regards to what's going on there. Because the last I heard, the DOJ actually, and DHS, that they actually have a gag order, so they can't really speak out on the issue. But he's posting TikToks. So what's going on here?
Crazy.
He looks like a free man.
Well, he's mocking the U.S. Judicial system. He is an illegal alien. There's a final deportation order. Lots of twists and turns on that, but he should be deported. I think he ultimately will be. You know, four big law firms have filed over 600 dockets in his criminal case, in his immigration case. We estimate they've spent over $12 million. This is excessive due process for an illegal alien who's an alleged human smuggler. The good news in this case is the following. Our good friend Braden Busek has been confirmed as U.S. Attorney for Middle Tennessee, and he is aggressively going after this case. The vindictive prosecution hearing that Judge Waverly Crenshaw has asked for will be held on January 28th. There's no vindictive prosecution here. He was filmed driving a van, speeding in Tennessee in November of 2022. He was driving a van owned by his boss, a convicted human smuggler. He was driving without a valid driver's license, and he was transporting 9 Spanish-speaking illegal aliens, none of whom had any luggage. That's the definition of human smuggling. The vindictive prosecution will not take place. That will be rejected. He'll end up being convicted on human smuggling, and he'll be deported, probably to a country other than El Salvador.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's been long overdue, the battle between these attorneys who are representing him, which obviously have done, I think, an incredible job at fighting this so far and dragging this on. Obviously, they're left-leaning attorneys, and that's what motivates them. But again, this has been concerning, and you know, we can't wait for the day that he's deported. We're all playing guess the country at this point. Michael, I also kind of want to just highlight, too, to our audience that Tennessee is doing a great job. And you guys over at the TennesseeStar.com also do a great job at highlighting what's happening statewide. But you have another great story up on your website right now about the law that will now make those invalid out-of-state driver's license issued to illegal aliens invalid, which is great. What's the latest on that? Because that's about to go into effect, I believe.
Goes into effect tomorrow. And so in this instance, Kilmar Abrego Garcia was stopped by Tennessee Highway Patrol in November 2020. He did not have a valid driver's license. He had an expired license that the state of Maryland gives to illegal aliens, but it can only be used within the state of Maryland. He should have been arrested that night. He was not arrested after an hour and 10-minute stop. Why? Because the Biden-era FBI instructed the Tennessee Highway Patrol to let the guy off. So clearly, this guy is getting all sorts of special treatment because he's an illegal alien and he's the poster child for all the leftists who want to stop mass deportation of illegal aliens and illegal alien criminals.
Yeah. Well, Michael, it's insane that we have to go over that and do something like that. Unfortunately, blue states have completely abandoned their values. I guess we'll just say oath to this country at this point, but, they're siding with illegal aliens and it's up to the states, the red states specifically, to make sure that they can't, do what they've been doing. You know, New York, we've covered it extensively. I'm from New York. I covered it when it was going on in the states, is issuing these licenses out without even verifying their documents. And they have no idea whether they're real, whether they're fake. And it's a national security issue. And unfortunately, I think we might have to end up learning about that the hard way because they literally are handing these IDs out and they have no first name and they don't even care. They're still giving out these IDs anyway. So, Michael, we've got a big issue on our hand. It's good to see that Tennessee's fighting back on that front. And it's good to see all the great work you guys are doing over at the Tennessee Star. So thank you, my friend. We appreciate the update.
Brianna, great to talk with you again.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure. It's always a pleasure. Michael Patrick Leahy, folks, give him a follow on X and make sure you visit his websites. They do an incredible job. If you live in Tennessee, this is a website you're going to want to head over to and check out. Get it going every day. It's one of my favorite ones. So thank you, Michael. We appreciate it, of course. All right, folks, let's dive into a couple more topics. Because a lot's been going on. A lot's been going on. Did you know President Trump yesterday had vetoed two bills? This is coming from a White House announcement. It's in regards to one of them being about clean water in Colorado. President Trump used his veto power this week for the first time since returning to the White House to reject a bipartisan bill designed to make it easier to build a water pipeline in between Colorado and give Native American tribes more control over the portion of the Everglades. He vetoed this. It's worth noting, though, that Lauren Boebert was the one leading this. And so there might be some type of political reasons for that because she was very much involved in the Epstein push. Again, he has vetoed that. And just in comparison, you know, Trump did veto in his first term 10 bills that made his way to his desk specifically. Joe Biden also used his veto power. He did a veto at least 13 times. So keep that in mind. Now, when it comes to the breakdown in all of this, Trump's veto on Boebert's bill, again, was expected to bring clean water into Colorado, into eastern Colorado specifically. Many argued, though, that this is a state issue, not a federal issue. And that probably be the reason why President Trump justifies all of that. But the congresswoman, well, she wasn't very happy, obviously, when she learned that the president vetoed her bill. And she tweeted out yesterday that this isn't over. And I hope it's not retaliation for the Epstein stuff, I gotta say, because that's not gonna look good, Mr. President. That's not gonna look good. But we'll see it as it all plays out, because of course, I'm sure she'll probably just shove this into another big bill, a spending bill probably, to get it pushed through. All right, we're diving into a lot more in just a little bit. We're gonna be diving into what we learned yesterday in court, because that's when the J6 suspected pipe bomber made his way into a courtroom. He is looking to be released prior to his criminal trial. And we learned a lot. So buckle up. We'll get to that in a little bit. I also wanted to bring your attention to another story in regards to, let's see. This one is in regards to Richard Grenell. As many of you guys know, Rick Grenell is the one who's running now the Trump Kennedy Center. Yes, that's it. The Trump Kennedy Center. It's quite an interesting name. Right now, he actually is receiving a lot of death threats. And according to a federal judge in Virginia, they have just ordered the detention of a 33-year-old man who's now been charged officially with threatening to kill Rick Grenell. In the Justice Department's official filings, yes, they did say that there was a death threat. And Lindsay Holligan over in Virginia is the acting U.S. attorney is the one who's going to be leading that way. But yes, apparently Grenell did receive serious death threats and the individual behind it is now being arrested. And this is just a common pattern here, folks. There are a lot of people who are obviously receiving these death threats. Also worth noting that the suspect has also been charged with making false statements to federal officials. Again, this has been a problem throughout the last few months. I mean, the massive amount of threats that those on the right receive just for wanting to do their jobs, work for the government, and try to make this country a better place, well, they're being targeted. And Rick Grenell is as benign as it gets. I mean, the guy doesn't put out a controversial tweet ever. And if you're someone on the left, I mean, it's like the guy's gay. Like, that is your ally, one would think, right? But of course, that's not what they're going to do. That's not what they're going to side with. Anyone who's on Team Trump, they don't care that Rick Grenell is quite down the middle on a lot of issues, isn't as aggressive as the rest of the conservatives. This guy, nut job, allegedly making these threats and going after Grenell. So yeah, we're really fighting a lot. We're really fighting a lot. And the suspect who they're now accusing of this is Scott Allen Bulger. So again, he will be arrested. He's been charged with transmitting threats in interstate commerce, as well as making false statements to federal officials. And he later apparently used phone evidence to trace those threats back to him. So that's how the feds were able to catch him. So interesting take on things, of course. All right. So lots going on all around the world. We're going to dive into several other topics in just a bit. Let me just give you some overview of what we have. Obviously, it's New Year's Eve. So we're going to take some calls and I'm going to let you guys later in the show, of course, tell me what your favorite 2025 moments were. So buckle up. We'll get to that in a little bit. I'll also be asking Liz Harrington about her top 2025 moments so far. I've got a list actually that I can't wait to share with you. It's my favorite moves that the Trump administration made. We're going to stay positive, of course, and we're going to reflect on the good that's been done so far this year because, you know, we've got to be a little positive. We're also going to get into the election fraud angle to all of this as well, as more is uncovered in Georgia with Liz Harrington. She's the former spokesperson for President Trump, and she's got a lot to dive into on that front. You know, as we head into 2026, we need this to be a top issue. We do. We need to buckle down and protect our elections. And unfortunately, it doesn't look like House Republicans are serious about that. As they pretend that they are getting ready for these midterm elections, it's very, very obvious to anyone who's been paying attention that we're in serious trouble. We're in serious trouble. If it's not the voter fraud, then it's going to be fed up voters who just don't want anything to do with Republicans because they have the majority now. And they're not doing anything. They're not doing anything. So we'll dive into that in just a bit. In the meantime, though, I'm excited to say this to you guys. We just extended that sale that I've been bragging about and telling you guys all about. It's the buy one, get one free on select supplement sale. So listen, new year, new you. We all do it, right? We all say we're going to focus more on our personal health. But now is the time to buddy up with us. Let's partner up and make this a serious goal for you. Okay, head on over to thealkshowandstore.com. It's buy one, get one free on select supplements, which is an incredible deal that you won't find anywhere else. So head on over there, take a look at some of the incredible items that we do have on this BOGO sale. Plus, we just launched beef tallow, and I'm so excited for this because as many of you guys know, I love cooking, and there's no other way to enjoy a good fried chicken cutlet, let's say for an example, than the healthier way with some beef tallow. Head on over to the shop, grab yourself some beef tallow. All of your favorite items right now are on sale. So head on over there. Things like methylene red, it's buy one, get one free. You also got the methylene blue as well as the drops and the capsules. Buy one, get one free. Ultimate Life Force as well and so many other items. I'm telling you, this is a great sale. And not only are you going to be focused on your health when you head on over to thealkshowandstore.com, but you're also going to be helping us and we greatly appreciate your support. You keep us on air whenever you make a purchase over at thealkshowandstore.com. So head on over to the shop and make sure you grab some supplements right now. And in the meantime, too, if you haven't done so already, I don't know why you haven't, but make sure you download the app, the Alex Jones app, right now. AlexJonesApp.com, AlexJonesApp.com. We'll be right back with more.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here. A year after the Onion said they bought us, We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it and support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us. Happy New Year's, everyone. It's the final day of 2025. If you're like me and you wait until the very last minute to do things you said you were going to do in 2025, I've obviously got a jam-packed day for me ahead. But when it comes to traditions, my New Year's Eve traditions, I can promise you the one thing I always commit to is falling asleep before the ball drops, and I look forward to doing that again tonight. I hope those who do have plans, though, you enjoy them, of course, and stay safe. But yeah, a lot happened in 2025, and we'll be recapping just that later on in the show, and we'll be taking your calls later in the show as well to ask you what your favorite moments of 2025 were as well, and what we're looking forward to in 2026. Again, we got to be positive. There's a lot of negative stuff going on in the world, and I think we got to reflect on the good at least, and so we'll look forward to doing that in just a bit. We'll also be discussing what just recently happened yesterday in court, because there's some weird things going on right now in regards to the J6 pipe bomber suspect. The individual that they've arrested and they're accusing of being the pipe bomber himself, I've expressed my doubts, and I'm not yet convinced that this is the person who was the mastermind that had the FBI and DOJ hunting down the pipe bomber. The body cam video itself really reflects that this individual is someone who struggles with a mental disability, and it's really hard for me to pretend like this is the guy. This is the guy. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about what happened in court, though. I think that's really, really important. You know, Brian Cole Jr. is the individual who's now charged with federal crimes. And there was an interesting move made in court yesterday that I'll detail for you in a bit. We'll also be joined with Joe Hanneman. Now, Joe and Steve Baker have been working extensively to dig into everything related to the pipe bomber. And they are trying their best to figure out what's actually going on here. Now, listen, I independently have my doubts that this is the suspect, and that's just based on reading the criminal complaint. It didn't sell it to me. But Joe Hanneman, well, he's doing a great job at saying and kind of detailing what his doubts are in regards to the criminal complaint, according to the evidence that they've released thus far. And, you know, it's not saying that, because I can't 100% say it, that this isn't the person, but I could say this. I'm more sold on the fact that this isn't the person, that this is the person. I've asked extensively several times for any type of physical evidence, real evidence that points to this guy being our guy. And I'm told there's more evidence coming out. I was given a deadline. I never received anything. So I'm not going to oversell you on this. Not going to pretend like the FBI is being transparent here, because that is not the case. And as always, we call balls and strikes here on my show. So we're going to continue to do that. Joe Hanneman joining me in just a bit to walk us through what he finds to be particularly concerning about this individual being called the suspect, and I'll detail what happened in court. Again, we got a lot more that we're going to be diving into in just a bit. And it's time to buckle up, because we got a lot more to discuss. But most importantly, we're also going to be discussing, I got this great video. I'm really excited for that. I wanted to find positive stuff to put on the show, but also things that are like, what the? So I have a great video that we'll play for you in a bit as well. It's a California homeowner finding out that there was a 500-pound bear living in his home. No, in the house he actually lives in. This isn't a part-time house. The bear and its cub actually were living under his house. And guess what? When you live in the state of California, you ask for help from your government. Well, they don't help you. So we'll play that video for you, because it's actually kind of crazy. It's kind of crazy. So we'll play that in just a bit. In the meantime, though, I can't stop talking about it, because it's a great sale over at thealexjonesstore.com. It's buy one, get one free on select supplements for the next few hours. So again, new year, new you. Kick it off the right way over at thealexjonesstore.com. All of your favorites are on sale. It's the select supplements that are up on the site now. We extended the sale for a couple more hours. Why not? So make sure you head on over to the shop and grab yourself some of these vitamins. Again, we're trying to help you get to your New Year's Eve goals. We all say we're going to be healthier, but do we actually do it? Well, I always try. And I actually accomplished it when I did it 2 years ago. So I highly recommend you all do the same. Head on over to thealchemyshow.com right now and stock up on your favorite items. This is the best sale I've seen thus far over at thealchemyshow.com. And that's why we're extending it, because you all love it. So go over there, head on over there, grab up what you need. And when you do, you support us. And we love you for supporting us. So thank you over at thealchemyshow.com. All right, more to dive into in just a bit. Buckle up. Joe Hanneman joining me to debunk all the nonsense we're hearing right now. So stay put. More to discuss in a moment.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. Happy New Year's, everyone. All right, we're kicking things off by diving into the very latest. We call balls and strikes over here, and it ticks off all the right people when it comes to federal law enforcement. I mean, folks, listen, I give them kudos when we have to, but I'm not jumping on this story. It's all in regards to the J6 pipe bomber suspect. They want us to believe that a man named Brian Cole Jr. is the individual who was behind putting down those two pipe bombs outside of the RNC and DNC. Now, folks, we've been following the story extensively because there was a lot of very strange situations about all of this. And I know that those individuals who are now, you know, in these positions of leadership, once shared those same concerns with us. It wasn't strange back then, but for some reason right now, everyone's trying to tell us that this is the guy. And many reasons why I have my doubts. You're seeing here, there's a body cam video that was released in regards to that suspect. And it is very clear when you're watching it that he is not somebody who, he's somebody who has a mental disability. And it was very obvious because the officer in the video has to explain that he was following another vehicle too close. That is the reason why he's receiving a ticket. This was after a car accident. I believe this video is from 2024. There's also been other instances like that he's like a My Little Ponies fan, like a mega fan. And I believe that was released in the New York Post. Again, this is a man who's 30 years old. Like, that doesn't really make sense. And it has a lot of us concerned. Well, yesterday in court, the DOJ tried their best to make the argument that Cole should be locked up behind bars while awaiting his criminal trial. But it's quite strange when we were actually listening in. And Headline USA, well, they sent one of their reporters into the room, so I was able to go through their notes and put together what they learned while being in court. And so thank you to them for doing a great job and sending a reporter there. But here's what we know right now. Brian Cole Jr. is being charged with federal crimes. Now, a local D.C. Superior Court had a grand jury return the indictment, which is unusual for federal charges. It's not completely out of the loop, but it's very unusual. The federal court hasn't accepted the indictment yet because of the legal questions that are surrounding just that. And so the judge has pumped the brakes for a little bit and is just going to wait that out because, again, they're not sure if that could even be done. Now, the government tells the court in court, get this yesterday, they had the guts to say that they haven't actually estimated what the damages would have been if those two pipe bombs would have went off. So they have no idea the damages that would have been done. Again, if these are viable devices, explosive devices, you think that they would have been able to draft this up, especially also because they put out, what, $500,000 reward? So it's really strange they haven't yet come up with an estimate, just an estimate on the damage that would have been done if those explosives were viable. Now, again, the defense is saying that they actually have an expert witness that says that those devices cannot explode, that they might have been actually missing particles that would have helped with that explosion potentially. Specific details on that, though, are still very unclear. And they also are claiming that those devices were not viable. Okay, so that's what the defense said. The prosecutor is still not being able to really debunk that because they don't even have an estimate. Now, it's also worth noting that the Fed took some of the material from, obviously, Cole's home during that raid, but they did not take his firearms. That was something that actually had Cole's family laughing in court yesterday, according to Headline USA. I don't know why they were laughing, but when that was kind of put out there, it was quite strange. Apparently, he had firearms, and they just didn't take those. That's worth putting out there, of course. Also, it's worth noting that the defense attorneys for Cole were trying to argue yesterday in court that Cole should be released to his grandmother, and his grandmother also has his sister living there as well at their Maryland home. And the judge did ask for the grandmother to come up and speak to him because he had doubts that maybe the grandmother might have an alliance to her grandson rather than to court if he were to release Cole. And he made that very clear that he actually did have those doubts. Now, it's very, very interesting because the grandma said, no, I would side with the court. This is a high profile case. And I would make sure that if anything happened, I would alert the courts. Okay. So that's another interesting angle to all of this. And then when the judge asked her, did he have any guns in the home? She did say, yes, they live in a gated community, but inside their home, they do have firearms. And those firearms come from her husband, who apparently once worked for the government under GSA. Okay, did you get all that? So yes, she says that she could take full custody of Cole. She would be siding with the courts if anything were to happen over her grandson. That's what she's claiming. And that would be very interesting. Now, obviously, Cole's been on the run for, if this is the actual pipe bomber, he's been on the run for, what, 5 years now? So why would we sit here and argue that he is a danger to society? He doesn't have a criminal record. He hasn't been accused of any other crimes during the time he was free. So again, it doesn't really make sense. The government admitted that Cole rarely commented online as well, which is an important element to all of this. They're saying that this is politically motivated, obviously, that he felt like the election was stolen, and that's what motivated him to do all of this. But Cole, according to the government, never actually posted things online, and instead he was just mainly a consumer. And that also came out, keep this in mind, when the government tried to go after the grandma for saying, hey, well, do you even see what he's posting on the internet? Are you supervising what he does online? Because they're trying to say, well, the grandma doesn't see what he's doing online, so how can he promise he's going to supervise this kid when he, I keep saying kid, 30-year-old man, when he's released? But he doesn't post anything online. So again, it didn't even make any sense. A judge says that they need about a day to kind of sift through all of this. Again, the judge is actually Boasberg in this one. It's not weird how he always gets these cases. So buckle up. It's going to be a crazy one. Now, it's also worth noting, too, that, again, we have a specific, well, I guess we've officially learned that he, yes, is on the spectrum. He has autism, and he does have OCD. And so that's what we're learning, the very latest, as the DOJ is looking to prevent him from being released. Joining me to kind of dissect all of this, plus his latest report, is Joe Hanneman. He's one of the great reporters over at The Blaze, and he's with us now. Joe, it's good to see you, my friend. It's also good that you are working on the latest story with our other good friend, Mr. Steve Baker, who we wish him well. He is obviously recovering, and our audience was very excited calling in yesterday to hear the good news that he is recovering and he is doing well right now. So it's good to have you on the show, and it's good to see the both of you teaming up for this story that you've recently just released over at The Blaze. So let's go with the first part before we dive into the story that you've just released. We've seen the government yesterday in court try to argue that Cole is going to be a danger potentially if he is released without bail. If he's released before his criminal trial, let me correct that, which is a strange argument to make given the fact that they're claiming he's a pipe bomber, but he's been on the run for about 5 years now. So what the heck is the government doing here?
Well, you know, they say he's evaded detection or evaded police for 5 years. Yet the defense pointed out that he's lived in the same home in Virginia for, I believe it's at least 21 years, held down a job during that time. You know, he was very much a man of routines. And so this was not somebody who went on the run. This wasn't somebody who was trying to avoid detection. He was living, it sounds like, a very quiet, normal life in his mother's home in Virginia. So the notion that he was trying to evade detection, I think that fell a little bit flat. And I don't know that that was particularly, weighed on the judge too much, but I think that's one of the weaknesses in their attempts to paint him as such a danger to society that no amount of restrictions could protect society from this young man. And the defense pointed out that, look at his record for the past 4 or 5 years. You know, he's held steady employment. He has no criminal record. He's never been arrested. Was involved in a minor traffic incident that you showed the body cam from. But this is not somebody who has shown any propensity for violence. And of course, he is charged with placing weapons of mass destruction. But the judge isn't allowed to consider the likelihood or not that a person is guilty. You know, there's a presumption of innocence in these cases, and they have to have a forward-looking approach when they're trying to decide detention, because it's supposed to be exceedingly rare that you would detain somebody. We saw a lot of this with the J6 cases, that people were detained prior to trial, and indeed a lot of those ended up becoming punishment before the fact. So this will be a very interesting ruling over the next couple of days. If he releases Brian Cole to his grandmother, I don't know that the DOJ offered any evidence of his dangerousness other than the fact that he's charged with these crimes.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be a key point here. And we're going to wait to see what the judge says. We're expecting that possibly today or on Friday, that announcement regarding too. Even I've asked friends who are attorneys, because I've never seen this before, about the federal charges being kind of stirred up in the D.C. Supreme Court, the grand jury. That doesn't make any sense, because in D.C., I mean, that would be like a state situation, and it doesn't make sense to charge them on a federal level with a state court. So again, it doesn't make any sense. And even the judge was kind of confused by it, but has a lot to dive into to see if there's been precedents and what the law is on that. So we're looking forward to seeing that. But I want to get into specifically the criminal complaint here, because you've been doing a deep dive. And I told our audience from the beginning, when I read through that criminal complaint, it didn't seem like it was hard evidence. Now, normally there are cell phone towers that are utilized during crimes to narrow down who suspects are of murder cases. And I've studied that extensively too through several of the murder cases that I've covered. But this is really strange, because they've used his cell phone records to pin him into the area of these pipe bombs. But there's a lot of questions, and you just recently released an article kind of digging into all of that. So walk us through it.
Yeah, the initial statement of facts that was used to secure a warrant for his arrest relies heavily on pings from his cell phone. And his phone, according to the evidence the FBI submitted, showed his phone was at various places on Capitol Hill on the night of January 5th, 2021. But it's not nearly as clear cut as that would make it sound. Is that the cell tower dumps and the information that the FBI initially retrieved can only say so much. And in fact, it can only put you in a very general area, and potentially a fairly large one for each tower that is involved here. So, we could not say, for instance, that Brian Cole was at the corner of whatever two streets at a certain time, because, you know, the pings just simply are not made to be that specific. And even the boundaries between the various towers and antennas, it's not like there's a hard line between them. So it's a bit of fuzzy science, and eventually they would have to get more specific and either bring in engineering data or some other indicators to try to prove his location. Because what's in the criminal complaint simply, is not enough to say with any clarity or certainty that he was actually in a particular spot at a certain time. So, that's going to be problematic, but this right now, they're just initially trying to establish probable cause, but the cell tower evidence is definitely problematic.
Yeah. And that's also the problem I had from it from the very beginning. Again, it could be used as a way to find out who are narrowed down your suspect pool a bit. But this was somebody who was, according to his family, a DoorDash driver. So it's important for us to keep that in mind as well. If he was sent over to the area for reasons of that, just you keep that in the back of your minds. But the criminal complaint too, and, you know, we could get into this a little bit as well, Joe, because, they're talking about purchases that were made online a year prior to these pipe bombs being placed down, which is interesting given the fact that they're claiming that his motive was the election and his beliefs that the election was stolen. That's according to the DOJ. But to purchase a lot of these items a year prior is quite strange. And then, I mean, what it sounded like yesterday in court that the defense was trying to argue is the material that would have set these explosives off wasn't actually there. I believe that Headline USA was talking about some type of like black powder of some substance as well. So that's one of the other elements that's in that criminal complaint that they've issued. What do you think about that? And what else are you seeing from the criminal complaint? Because, Joe, I'll say this, you know, I gave the FBI and the DOJ a fair shake at all of this, and I reached out to the FBI to see if there's more evidence coming out anytime soon. And I was told as soon as the arrest happened that, yes, we'll be getting more evidence that's a direct connection to him, and it was going to come out at his first court appearance. But that actually never happened. I never saw any new evidence come about. And during yesterday's court hearing, we didn't really hear anything new that the DOJ had. So what do you make of all that?
Well, there's been questions from the beginning as to whether these pipe bombs were actually explosive devices. I think that's going to be a challenge in this case to actually prove that these things could have gone off and caused the kind of damage that they apparently haven't even estimated. We have at least one former FBI agent and a current FBI supervisor who is a whistleblower who have both said they were briefed back a week after January 6th as part of a surveillance project, and were told that these bombs were not viable. They were more akin to a training device, that they could not have exploded. There simply wasn't the kind of black powder that would be necessary to detonate. And so, you know, that has been out there, and the FBI and DOJ have kind of tap danced around that. They basically have said in the expert's report that the substances were there that if in the right proportions would make an explosive. That seems kind of a weaselly way to say, well, maybe, but maybe not. Even Stephen D'Antuono, the former head of the Washington field office, when he testified before a congressional committee, really couldn't answer that question. You know, and he was questioned about the kitchen timers. How could these things be set to go off under the theory that they would interrupt Congress at the time of the debate on the certification of the election? And he said that it couldn't. You know, a 60-minute timer for a device that was set out 17 hours ahead of time, that simply doesn't make sense. So the defense has an expert, apparently, that would testify that these were really not bombs, that they were not viable, that they would not have exploded. And, you know, that seems to back up what the, you know, Kyle Serafin, former FBI special agent, and then the whistleblower have both said, that they were briefed by the FBI experts 5 years ago, and they said these things are not and were not viable devices. And that makes sense when you see how they were treated around the DNC after the discovery by a Capitol Police officer. There was very little behavior that would tell you that somebody thought that device was real. You know, Secret Service stood around. Actually, they didn't even get out of their vehicles for 2 minutes because they were finishing their sandwiches. You know, if this had been a real pipe bomb, you would move very quickly to establish a blast perimeter. They would have evacuated the DNC building immediately, would have shut the trains down. They would have closed the streets off.
A new court filing details.
And they wouldn't let teenagers walk by within 10 feet of where that bomb was sitting. So, you know, it fits with a lot of what we saw. If these are not and were not real devices, just with the behavior of law enforcement around there. And that raised a lot of suspicion at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it did. It did. And that's why so many people were so, it was a head scratcher. I think a lot of people thought, well, just based on their reactions, that this wasn't as serious as they were making it to seem. So yeah, I would go with that, Joe. I also want to get to the confession, the alleged confession, because the DOJ came out and said that Cole did confess the crimes he's accused of. But important for folks at home to understand, he's on the spectrum. So it's important to highlight that. And as somebody who has a family member who also struggles with issues like that, he would constantly confess, my family member, to things that he didn't actually do just based on pressure. And so that was really concerning. But we know, yes, he is on the autism spectrum. So I want everyone to keep that in mind. And I don't think it's fair to detain a jury pool potentially. And it was not cool, I have to say. That's the nicest way to say it. When we saw the U.S. attorney, Janine Pirro, come out and openly say that he did make this confession, because it does taint the jury pool. And in fact, Cole's attorneys called it out, and they didn't like that either. What do you make of this? Because I see you guys have done the deep dive also on the alleged confession as well over at The Blaze.
Well, and as I note in the story, actually, I'm working on right now that will be coming out probably later today, that when he was questioned by the FBI after being arrested on December 4th, he spent more than 2 hours telling them that he was not the pipe bomber. He didn't do this. And for that entire span, he maintained that. And then at some point, they kind of leaned on him and said, you know, we would add criminal offenses to what you're charged with if you're lying to us. And then they left him alone in the room for, I believe they said it was 20 minutes, and then came back after that and said, asked him again.
Joe, did he have an attorney by any chance?
What's that?
Did he have an attorney at this time? Do you know?
He didn't. They said that he signed a waiver of his Miranda rights. But where this is going to be, the autism and OCD are going to become a very big issue. I thought that was probably the most telling thing from the hearing yesterday, is the defense certifying in their briefs that he has level 1 autism spectrum disorder and OCD. And I think now that the entire case is going to be recast in that light, to look at everything that has happened, including his interview and his alleged confession. I mean, he uttered the word yes when they asked him if that he was the person in the video. But it's well known. There's a lot of literature on this, that people with autism are prone to being led, gullibility issues. And false confessions are very common. So you have to really engage experts when you're questioning someone who has those kind of deficits, so you don't lead them into confessing to something they didn't do. And it's very common to please the person that is questioning you to agree with what they're saying and just to be agreeable. And so I think they recorded this video. It's going to get picked apart in experts in autism. And it's not like there isn't a lot of literature out there on how to sensitively handle interviews like this to get valid results. And it does not sound like that happened in this case. So I would expect the defense at some point is going to move to have that entire interview suppressed. Because even his waiver of Miranda rights, given his deficits, and that his grandmother says he operates at the level of a 16-year-old, is he mentally competent, and did he understand what he was doing? And, you know, given how people think who are afflicted with being on the spectrum, you know, I think it raises a lot of questions on this. So this is going to become a preeminent issue as this case moves forward.
Yeah. Well, Joe, we look forward to your coverage over at The Blaze as you guys continue to dig into this. So thank you for joining us today and breaking all of this down. We greatly appreciate it. Joe Hanneman, thank you.
Thank you.
Folks, if you have someone who has struggles like this, who has this type of a disability, speak with your local law enforcement. Get it on the books, though, that if there's ever an incident that they have to contact the emergency contact, I do just that. It's really important that you do that. So make sure it's on the books so that this doesn't happen to your loved ones. All right, we got more to dive into in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.
I want to talk to you all right now about something beyond important. And it's about a choice that you have to make. And that's not hype. Ladies and gentlemen, InfoWars has been under unprecedented attack for really 15 years, intensifying when Obama in 2013 serialized it as a terrorist organization for destruction by the CIA and FBI that was declassified earlier in the year by the Trump administration. I'm all over the Crossfire Hurricane. I'm all over the Arctic Frost as one of the main people to be taken out by the deep state itself. And the reason for that is we have the information. I have the background. I have the research. I have the guest. I have the crew. We have the giant audience. They tune in and they cannot stand what they hear being discussed on this broadcast. So when you spread the word about this broadcast, when you pray for this broadcast, when you share the articles and videos and reports or take them and make clips yourself and share them, this belongs to you as much as it belongs to me. When you do that, you are the amplification system. Again, you're not part of the fight. You are the fight. And when you support this operation financially, you allow us to stand up against the Paul Weiss law firm, the top Democrat law firm in the country, and we are having major victories against them. We've held them off, shutting us down, as you've seen, intensely the last few years, and it is just a knockdown, drag-out operation. But regardless, the Alex Jones store, thealexjonesstore.com, is not owned by me, it's owned by Bigley. It's funding InfoWars and the fight and the crew and the operation and the bandwidth and everything, and it's funding the Alex Jones Network backup that's been built. So it is absolutely critical that you go to thealexjonesstore.com. And until New Year's evening, we are running a ultra-massive sale. Buy one, get one free on almost every supplement we've got. A few of them we can't because of methylene red, a small shipment came, and it's going to sell out probably today. So, and this is the key. You don't just buy one of one type and get the same one free. That's the usual deal. You can buy any supplement and buy any other supplements. You can buy a $20 supplement and buy a $45 one free. You understand? So buy one supplement, get any other supplement you want free. Add any supplement to your cart and get any other supplement you choose free. You can mix and match any of our amazing supplements together, and they are the best. Ultramethylene Blue, tincture and capsules, bovine colostrum, CMOS capsules, Life Force, ultimate Life Force spike protein cardiovascular detox, Shilajit capsules and gummies, incredible. Ultimate turmeric, 95% curcuminoid. Ultimate power drink mix, which is even stronger than Turbo Force. If you like Turbo Force, you're going to love it. Ultimate power drink mix, two great flavors now available at DallasJonesStore.com. High quality concentrated beef cooking tallow. You asked for it, we got it. Ultra DNA Revival. You like DNA Force? This is even better. It's NAD Plus Booster. Atomic Defense. Incredible immune system boosting system. Ultimate Burn. Safe, healthy, metabolic rate turn up to help you lose weight naturally. MK Ultra. Great for your brain. The Tallow Balm. We never talk about enough. Optimal Human. The ultimate green drink. You heard Harrison Smith rant and rave about it. It is all available at thealexjonesstore.com. And it makes this entire operation possible. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. Your support, we can't do it without you. Also, InfoWarsStore.com has some limited fish oil and turmeric that are high quality. Also, the collectible fundraiser posters limited edition that I designed. You can also make a straight donation there. We need funds. We got about a $300,000 underage going out in the next few months. We need your support right now. InfoWarsStore.com. You know who you are, the past supporters. I want to encourage those who have been on the fence to take action now. History's happening, and you're betting on a horse that continues to win. Thank you so much.
Now, back to our program.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're jumping on board with us today for the final day of 2025. And we're going to, you know, do a countdown of our favorite, my favorite, personal favorite, moves the Trump administration made so far this year. And we'll also be joined by Liz Harrington in just a bit as well, who's going to break down her favorite 2025 moments can't even speak. But that's typical for a New Year's Eve celebration. But listen, Liz is going to be here in just a second. We're going to dive into that. I wanted to talk about the fraud, though. We gave you the update at the beginning of the show in regards to what the Trump administration is doing to buckle down on the fraud. It's not just happening at the daycare facilities in Minnesota that are owned by Somalians. There's also a lot of health care centers and a lot of health care providers that are being called into question. Now, Nick Shirley has been boots on the ground in Minnesota, knocking on doors, asking simple questions of like, hey, can I get health care around here? And the kid hears crickets. Take a listen to clip 11 and how that went for him just a few days ago.
A list of all of the health care companies. Loads of them right here. We want health care.
No, it's okay.
Yes, we'd like to speak about getting health care here?
No.
Why can't I get health care here?
No, it's wait.
Warning, you are under video surveillance. No trespassing, security armed. This is the strangest place I've ever been to get health care. Just a bunch of different places. Healthcare here, healthcare right here. Another healthcare company right here. There are three healthcare companies inside of this building right here in this room of 7C.
All right, so you can't assume that there's fraud going on here, but I'd say it's a little suspicious. Joining me to discuss, the former spokesperson for President Donald Trump, Liz Harrington, joins us now, and it's an honor as always to have her on the program. All right, Liz, you are the master when it comes to uncovering a lot of the fraud, specifically election fraud. We'll get to that in a little bit, but we're seeing all this financial fraud right now get uncovered. It is not just the daycare facilities that are being ran by Somalians that they're digging into right now. It's also the healthcare providers. Now, there's been several reports in the local news world about this going on for a couple of years now, but it's finally getting national attention, which I love because of the great work Nick Shirley's doing. So we just heard from the White House, the press secretary coming out, and Caroline Leavitt saying that we're looking into denaturalizing a lot of these Somalians potentially, as well as pulling now the funding from a lot of these programs. What do you make of the response from the administration thus far?
Well, that certainly sounds like great news. I think President Trump himself has been all over this for a while, even before the Nick Shirley video went viral. Mm-hmm. And that was going to be one of my top five just Trump moments of his rant against the Somali refugees, so-called refugees who have just been ripping us off, robbing us blind. But so that's great news. I think he'll be pushing for a lot of action. I think the key question is, will the FBI deliver? That is certainly an open question. Congress is going to do some hearings and they'll send some letters. But look, a lot of these people themselves are responsible for these policies. I mean, I heard that Tom Emmer is one of these representatives. He's in Republican leadership. He co-founded the Somali caucus in Congress. I mean, he's a Republican who was pushing these types of programs. So we have to clean this kind of stuff up. But when I first heard about this and saw these videos, this great reporting, it really took me back to my former life, my old days of, you know, scouring through these federal documents and looking for waste, fraud, and abuse, and it certainly wasn't hard to find. And that was like during the Obama years. And it's just amazing that this has gotten to this scale, though. I mean, there always has been this kind of, you know, funny, wasteful spending, research grants, and everything like that. But now it's at a level that the entire program is a fraud. I mean, this, and yeah, when I see this, they go to the addresses and there's nothing there. The daycare centers, there's no kids. The learning center that can't even spell learning. And this really tells me we need to not just look at Minnesota. We need to look everywhere because this has got to be going on. And it's just in broad daylight. And nobody's done anything about it. And, you know, they like to say, oh, there's been 99 indictments. That was for like the COVID era fraud, which I'm sure alone looking at the COVID money where they put the turn the spigot on and so much of our hard earned money was wasted. That alone is a huge scandal, but nobody's still, where is, you know, the perp walk? Where is the huge press conference? Where is, you know, the raids? And you had people by Biden's DOJ and FBI raided and had their Declaration of Independence and copies of the Constitution confiscated. I mean, those were the raids that were going on in the Biden years, and we can't even get, you know, raids of this type of criminal activity. That's what we need to see if we're ever going to have a hope of shutting this stuff down.
Yeah, Liz, I was digging into the DOJ and the FBI's response to this. And as you just said there, the indictments came down. The investigation was launched in 2022 into the COVID fraud, which was related to a bill that Ilhan Omar pushed herself, of course. But I'm sure that's not related at all. But I was told that the investigation into a lot of the Somalian fraud was actually taking place. It started under the Biden administration. Then apparently it was stopped under the Biden administration. And then I was told that Kash Patel directly pushed for it to be relaunched and to looked into again. So there's been new, obviously, convictions that have come from all of this. So that's at least a sense of relief. But yeah, I would say it's deeply concerning. This is something that's been going on for many, many years now. There was a local news report back in January of 2025 that was highlighting the fraud that they were finding in Minnesota as well. And so this seems to be an ongoing issue. And we have a right to ask these types of questions. And it's not just the daycare facilities. We're seeing, we played a couple of videos in the open of the show. There are the assistant living facilities. They're just people's homes and they're claiming that they have patients in their homes. And then when they ask like, hey, how many people do you have living here? We don't have anyone living here. I mean, they're openly telling these cameras that they don't have anyone living here. And so there's a lot more to dig into there. So we look forward to them uncovering this. But I wanted to get into something else. This is your specialty. You have been for many years now focused on getting to the bottom of the election fraud throughout this country, specifically in Georgia. Now, I'm told that Georgia is a Republican-led state. And so something like this is common sense that you would think that they'd push forward with and to make sure that their elections are safe and secure. But it's not really a top priority for them. And as we look at Fulton County, we see that what we were told didn't happen. And, well, it looks like it happened. As we head into 2026 and we start gearing up for these midterms, what are some of the top priorities you want Republicans to take on? Because our elections are not safe and secure.
It's got to be the number one priority. I mean, to me, nothing else can be changed. Nothing else ultimately will be changed for the better in the long run if you don't have a free and fair election. And that's got to be the top priority. And we have to get rid of the system as it currently stands, the electronic systems, the mail-in ballots, the counting for weeks past election day, the voting for, you know, 60 days before election day. It is so open to fraud. And, you know, you mentioned Georgia, and that's the really sad thing about all of this is those Republican officials sitting at top of that state government, they want nothing to do with this. Why? Because they rig their elections too. They have rigged primary after primary. And you had Brian Kemp, who's got booed at the state GOP convention in 2022 and yet was able to beat his challenger, which was not a nobody. It was David Perdue, a former senator, by 50 points in his primary. I mean, and nobody ever even looked into it. I mean, you knew it was not legit. I'm not saying that Perdue necessarily would have won, but those numbers were just absurd on its face. I mean, none of the polling suggested a 50-point blowout from a former high-profile senator. It's just absurd. And you saw the same thing with Raffensperger. He got just above to avoid a runoff, the 50% threshold, when he was polling below against, again, not some no-name challenger. It was a former congressman, Heiss. So, and he's able to stay in office. And so these people are corrupt and they've been allowed to use the system that has benefited them. So they certainly don't want to change it. But I'm so happy to see the rest of kind of the Twitterverse or Xverse, whatever you want to call it now, yeah, getting onto the Fulton County story, because it's, you know, this is kind of information that has been out there and we've been pushing out there for years now, but now Fulton County has admitted that the 2020 election, 315,000 votes, they didn't dispute the fact that none of those were signed and witnessed to. That is the entirety of the early voting votes in 2020. And it's because they had to remanufacture them. They didn't have the votes for Joe Biden. And this is one piece of evidence when you take it with everything else that they've uncovered, a lot of these great Patriot private investigators down in Georgia looking into this for years. It was quite obvious that they never had the results, so they had to manufacture them. So that's why none of the paperwork matches. They had to calculate the votes, tabulate them on different machines than so-called voted that they were voted on. And then you had tabulators that did not even exist. I mean, so it's not just you had Stephen Richer, a corrupt official from Maricopa, coming to Fulton County, their brothers in arms, right? Their defense, saying, oh, no, no, this isn't a fraud. This is just like if you go to McDonald's and they don't give you a receipt and then you somehow say that's a fraud. I said, no, no, no. What happened in Georgia was Georgia ordered a Big Mac and instead they got a McChicken. And then they were handed a receipt that said they had always ordered a McChicken and you're just insane. There was never a Big Mac. That is how fraudulent this whole thing was. And that's why there's so much evidence. None of the machine count, the recount ever matched because they never had the votes for Joe Biden. And he's their McChicken.
Yeah. And that's you putting it nicely, actually. He is a McChicken though. But you know, Liz, when we talk about this all, it's so crazy to me because like you mentioned, you've been talking about this extensively for years now and trying to get people's attention to the matter. And not just you, people who were legally representing the President of the United States, like Rudy Giuliani, have been covering this and trying to sound the alarms on all of this and do what the President's legal rights were at the time to go out there and try to challenge all of these local elections, the results that they were turning in, I guess you'd say. And he was met by a group of people who decided to, instead of proving that he was wrong in court and going through the facts and sifting through it that way, they targeted him. And the lawfare was just so overwhelming that he was pushed into bankruptcy because of it. And it's not just Giuliani, sadly, still. It's people like Jeff Clark, who actually didn't even send the letter that he was alleged to have sent. We now know 100%, which he's always said that he never sent the letter. But he was wrapped up into the Fulton County persecution as well. And then still to this day, right now in D.C., they're trying to disbar him. How do we make these things right? Because the lawfare, the process itself is very stressful, but the financial burden is completely bankrupting these people. So how do we fix this heading into the new year?
It's such an important question. And it's really one of the things I thought about too is, you know, this is why we need people like Giuliani and Jeff Clark in the current administration, people who actually had skin in the game, put their livelihoods on the line for the truth, and have just been completely destroyed and attacked. And it's just been so horrible for what they've had to go through. And we have to make sure that the people that did that to them and the president and so many other innocent people, so many other innocent, you know, just supporters of President Trump, the people who are responsible for that, they need to go to jail. There has to be some accountability. And they need to break up, you know, after Charlie Kirk was assassinated, they said, we're going to break up this far left, you know, Antifa, the funding and all of that. And I sure hope they're working on that. But it's the same type of thing here. You need to go after the money. You need to go after the funding behind this lawfare, the people behind the Norm Eisens of the world. You need to approach it like they approached us and they made it all up. I mean, they're talking about RICO charges for tweets about watching OAN. I mean, that's what the case was in Fulton County, but they didn't care. They brought it anyway. We need to take that approach, but actually using the law, because there's so many laws that were broken. They did violate constitutional rights, and this was a criminal conspiracy so deep in spreading multiple states, and there's so many aspects of it, but you need to go to the heart of that. That's what needs to be broken up, and people really have to face accountability. And if we don't get that coupled with the fair elections, I'm so afraid that this will be squandered. All the work that President Trump put in, his life on the line, survived two assassination attempts. By the grace of God, he was able to come back and be the president again. And that is a gift. And we need to get the people under him to start taking it seriously and start, you know, acting as if the country is on the line, because it really is.
Yeah, Liz, it is. And as we head into midterms too, I'm really getting frustrated with Republicans right now, because we do have a majority, even though it's a very narrow margin. We do have a majority. Unfortunately, they have just waited and waited this game out to pass legislation that would secure our elections on a federal level. And it's really upsetting. And again, we have MTG, who's retiring in just a couple of days, will be stepping away from Congress. And it just keeps getting thinner and thinner. And they just don't seem to really be moving on this, which I think is a massive disservice to the president. And I'd like to see him even get more aggressive and push back on this, because I think he's been very, very nice with what these Republicans have done so far. And it's not motivating voters to go out and support them. But, you know, we'll see as we head into the new year how Republicans truly feel, the voters at least, truly do feel about the party itself. But I want to focus on the positive things, because obviously President Trump, he is the busiest working man that I know of. So we have to give him credit when credit's due, and he's done a lot so far. So I kind of want to walk through my list a little bit. Actually, the first one, starting off with one of the best things, I think the most popular thing our government's ever done, that was creating DOGE and going after the reckless government spending. I've never seen something as popular as DOGE before, as we're seeing Nick Shirley's video blow up on the internet with over 100 million views as well. I think it's very obvious that the American people are tired of the fraud and tired of their money going to foreign countries. And so I think that's the reason why they pushed so hard against Musk and really went after him as aggressively as they did. Now, DOGE's claim is it's within each department, but asking each department to vet themselves to make sure that money is not being misspent is not really the checks and balances that the people want to see. But when it comes to DOGE, what were your thoughts on this when they launched this?
Oh, it was incredible. And it was a dream come true. Again, as I mentioned, you know, my former life of just every single day writing about the ways fraud and abuse as a reporter, I did this for years. And I loved doing it. I loved exposing it. And to see, you know, President Trump coming back into office and every day, you know, he would give, you know, some remarks and he would just pull out a list of like, here's all the things we've cut today. And they were always like the most absurd things, you know, you've ever heard. And it's like, finally, this is so amazing. And it was so, it's such important work like that to be exposed. And you're talking about the Somali fraud and the welfare fraud and everything else. I mean, that's what this work is. As well, to expose that sending an email. Hey, if you're an employee, send an email of the five things you did this week. And the reason they were doing that is because there's federal employees who don't exist. Just like you have the phantom voters, you have the phantom employees. And where is that money going? It's literally just being stolen. And so I think that work was so encouraging. I think it needs to be resurrected in year two. Because he came out so strong with USAID shutting down. I mean, that's something that was unheard of ever happening. Once you get these government programs and they just have a life of their own, right? And they just operate on autopilot. Nobody knows what they're doing. To shut something like that down, that was a huge achievement. I think, you know, you kind of take it for granted because it happened in the early days, but that is a huge deal. And they need to keep going with that in year two, I think, as well.
Yeah, no, I really want them to bring it back. And I think it's something that needs to be brought back. You know, we learned that millions of dollars was being shuffled over to, I believe it was Iraq, for Sesame Street. That was like the peak moment for so many Americans. They're like, all right, we've seen enough here. We've seen enough. Defund everything. And then Mike Benz did an incredible report too this year. It's one of my favorites, where he walks through how USAID was used to buy off independent journalists who were pushing propaganda, for the government, for the regime. So yeah, I mean, so much uncovered in that I think is incredible. But you know, the president also did a great job so far at going out there and trying to launch the mass deportations commitment that he laid out during the campaign. One of my favorite moves, obviously, the Remain in Mexico policy that he brought back. That was a big one. I know recently too, he's got the no travel bans countries that we're not letting into our country right now. We're holding off and waiting there. But then he's also got this was a good one. This was the individuals who want to self-deport. He's paying them thousands and thousands of dollars to self-deport. I think we're up to $3,000 per person now just for the holiday season as a nice little bonus for these people to get out of our country. But this saves the American taxpayers so much money rather than using the DHS sources to go out there and have to capture these people. people. So far, he's north of 2 million, which I think is a good start given the fact that the courts are overcrowded right now. And he's got to fill a lot of those seats, these judges and everything. And they're trying. I see the posts online. They're trying to hire these immigration court judges. So far, things look good for me when it comes to that. Your thoughts, though, on the immigration?
Again, a huge achievement, but also, you know, something that sadly had to take so many resources to undo, you know, the consequences of 2020 and a stolen election. But that is something that they worked on really fast. They closed the border down. Again, proving that the whole Biden years is such a fraud. I mean, obviously they didn't need legislation. They literally just flew people in using taxpayer money, facilitated an invasion. It really is treasonous. And we talk about accountability. That's a whole other aspect of something that they could look into, the immigration policies that were just absolutely illegal. When you think about the fundamental purpose of a nation and sovereignty, I mean, they completely trampled all of that. So this is a huge thing that had to be done. It was hugely popular on the campaign trail. But also, I think more needs to be done as well. One of my top things would be that they did this year was deporting Kilmer Abrego Garcia, or whatever his name is, because, and many millions more like him, because this is destroying our country. It really is. And I know that the deep state and the media tried to, you know, prop up this guy and to, oh, he was wrongly deported, which he was not. They tried to use this as like the poster boy, and this, the fake news is still like giving daily updates on this loser. But the fact that they stayed strong and they've continued deporting people like him and falling through on these promises, this is huge. And really the survival of our country depends on this. And you cannot import so many millions of people and expect your country not to change and not to be hurt. Obviously, we've seen the consequences of it, and there's more to do. But I think, you know, they got in there really fast, closed the border down, are expanding the operation. I think they need to keep going.
Yeah, I would agree with that on that front too. Liz, I want to ask you, we only have about like 90 seconds left.
A new high-tech search today for a plane that's
going to take it away from here. But I want to talk specifically about what your, some of your favorite moments are in regards to the Trump administration's first year back in the White House.
Yeah, definitely those two that you mentioned, but there's a lot more. I think the big, beautiful bill, and it, you got to kind of think of everything in the context of what would have been also, because this is, you know, again, we take it for granted, but if they would have been able to steal the 2024 election, like they did the 2020, we would not have a country. So you really have to think of the consequences and the contrast and how much work President Trump has had to put in to start turning this country around. So the tax cuts, big deal. And I think we'll start to feel that next year. And this country was really hanging by a thread. So people are kind of not as satisfied with how the economy has, you know, not turned back quickly enough, if they think. But it was a huge task. And now we just had one of my favorite moments, gas going down below $3 national average. I mean, it took us to December to get there. But I mean, that's huge, and that's going to keep going down. So that's a huge moment. One of my favorite other moments as well was a cabinet meeting back in April when Tulsi Gabbard, DNI, announced that the electronic voting machines have been used to manipulate elections. And that was a huge moment. Also hopeful that that's a sign of more things to come, because she's been working on that and other people working on that issue. That is a big deal. And I know President Trump hasn't given up on fixing our election. So looking into 2026, I expect to see more on that front. And that was one of my favorite moments, and also just personal moments of when President Trump, he went to the Fed and saw Drew Bell.
Liz, the commercial break is going to cut you off. Safe bus, though. We'll get you in just a second. We'll take you on the other side. Hold on 1 second.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Olive Shields Network. I don't know, and I'm going over there. You finance it. You paid for it. Your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at InfoWarsStore.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver, I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed, two I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King. Make no peace with evil, say Crusader King, and then do like that still image of me. And it is the bestseller. It's I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's just InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy, in a tube, or you get them for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens for their hats. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching at you, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you'll be the ones to shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like a Star Trek Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.
American Journal. We're still joined by Ms. Liz Harrington, the former spokeswoman for President Trump, as she recaps her favorite 2025 moments from the President of the United States. Liz, you were going over your personal favorites. What else do you have for us?
Yeah, thanks so much. So I was just thinking that just only Trump moments, only Trump can go to the Federal Reserve and just completely destroy Jerome Powell to his face and pull out the documents that show you overspent here, you overspent there, which is another fraud that actually the renovation of that building, which costs like billions of dollars, which needs to be looked into, by the way, and audited. That moment, also day one, when he has the great, rally and he just stops and goes on stage and starts signing executive orders. That's the only Trump moment and really, really fantastic. And one was more recent when he signed an executive order dealing with foster children, and he had a bunch of kids in the White House, and one of them, they were, all kind of like a little shy. He was, trying to give them pens and everything. And one of them asked, well, what's your name? So he said, Donald. And it was just the sweetest. And then they all started laughing and giggling. And it was just the sweetest moment. Like, that's something that a lot of people don't see. But when I got to work for him, you did see it a lot. It's just that's who he is. He has time for everybody. He has interest in everybody. Even if it's a kid, giggling at his first name, he can't go anywhere without being recognized. So when's the last time that somebody asked what his name is? It was a really cute moment. And, something that I love to see, because we are blessed to have a man like President Trump in the White House. We shouldn't take it for granted. It's not going to happen again. So we should enjoy it while we have it.
Yeah, Liz, and that moment was so cute. That poor kid is probably going to get picked on down the line, though, as he gets older, for not knowing that he was speaking to the President of the United States. I'm sure that video will forever live in whatever he does down the line, of course. But, yeah, it was definitely a great one, and we look forward to 2026, of course. Liz Harrington, thank you for joining us, and as always, giving us your insights on all things related to the President, because we could always appreciate it from your perspective. So thank you.
Thanks so much. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Liz. Thank you. All right, folks. In just a little bit, we'll be taking your calls. So if you'd like to join us, like to join the conversation, like to join the show, maybe give me your top three moments of 2025. That's what the next hour of this program is going to be all about. So we'll put the number up on the screen in just a second for you guys to give us a call. It's going to be 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539 is the number you're going to call if you'd like to discuss your favorite moments or even comment on the news we've covered thus far as we head into the third hour of this show. So make sure you join the show and give us a call. There's a lot more to discuss, of course, up ahead. I just saw, and I'll grab it from my phone right now, President Trump. He is like having a a storm of Truth Social posts right now. And I feel like it's like keeping up with the president as I constantly am getting these alerts. But he's calling out again the fraud in Minnesota, saying much of the 90%, up to 90% of the fraud in Somalia, in all of this is Somalian fraud. Congresswoman Omar, an ungrateful loser who only complains and never contributes, is one of the many scammers. Did she really marry her husband or her brother? Oh my gosh, all this gets so good. He just keeps roasting Ilhan Omar, and she has to be loving it because she's someone who is obviously seeking attention. And so the president going after her like this is probably good for her because she uses it as fundraising material. But again, he's going on and saying lowlifes like this can only be liable to our country's greatness. So yeah, I would agree with the president on that. The president, he's over at Mar-a-Lago today and he's getting ready. The only thing really on his calendar today is celebrating New Year's Eve with those at Mar-a-Lago today at 7:30 Eastern time. So he's got some time on his hands to be posting up these posts, and we'll keep reading them as they continue on. So a lot more happening over here. Though in the meantime, if you haven't done so already, we've extended the sale regarding the buy one, get one free on select supplements over at thealexjonesstore.com. New year, new you. You all say it. But are you serious about committing to that? Well, you can get serious over at thealexjonesstore.com. Your favorite supplements on sale right now. Buy one, get one free for a couple more hours. Just stop what you're doing right now and head on over to the shop, thealexjonesstore.com.
Better than Turbo Force, filled with incredible ingredients, ladies and gentlemen. Ultimate Power ignites mental clarity and focus, clean, sustained energy, enhanced blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. Ultimate Power at thealexjonesstore.com.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back to the American Journal. We are kicking off the third hour, the final third hour of 2025 right now by taking your calls. We're going to be diving into that. If you got like your best of moments maybe, or maybe you want to talk about a new story we've covered on the show thus far, give us a call, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. We'll be taking your calls, of course. And we're trying to focus on some positive thing. So if you got something like a positive message to call us as well, it's very important that we head into 2026 with positivity. Let's go with a couple of stories that I saw that are just, I mean, they're kind of cute, but they're also not cute if you are the homeowner, especially in California right now. Because a California homeowner is very fired up. He's very pissed off because, well, the government's not coming to save him. Surprise, surprise. Apparently, he found a 550-pound bear living inside his home. Yes, you heard that right. Take a look at the video.
Johnson says the bear moved under his Altadena home just before Thanksgiving and never really left.
If I kept track of everything I tried, it would be, you know, bear 14, homeowner zero.
California Department of Fish and Wildlife stepped in at first, setting a trap near the crawl space. But instead of catching the large bear under Johnson's home, the trap caught a smaller bear, the wrong one. That bear was hauled away and the bigger bear stayed put.
Well, I was kind of sad for the other bear at first, but then I'm like, well, if this bear comes out now, where's he going to go?
Biologists later tried again using air horns to flush the bear out. Johnson says it looked like it was finally working until he says they suddenly got a call ordering them to stand down.
Very defeated. Oh, yeah. I mean, I just dropped because, like, well, now what? It's all up to me. And what, I'm supposed to watch my phone when he comes out in the middle of the night, or like sleep in the kitchen and listen for him every night? I even asked, like, okay, so as long as you guys are gone, can I still use the bait to get him? No, can't do that.
Since then, Johnson says he can hear the bear moving around, presumably doing a lot of damage under his home.
You can hear the plastic being shredded underneath, and even one of the cameras picked it up just bulldozing through it. It's a mess under there.
This video of a broken pipe prompted him to shut off his gas on Christmas Eve, and he hasn't had any hot water since.
I'm just exhausted from the whole thing. You know, I get my mind off it for a little bit, and then suddenly I get flooded back with, oh, that's right, can't take a hot shower. I got to monitor the situation all the time. Every time my phone buzzes, it's like, is that him? Do I have to go and keep him away?
Now, Johnson says he plans to sue, accusing the agency of negligence and emotional distress.
Because this has gone on long enough, and it's something that they should deal with. I mean, it's a tagged bear. They've dealt with it before. They chose not to euthanize it, and now it's back. And it's just going to keep on doing it.
Guy's got a tough situation he's in right now. Looking still to get this bear removed, of course, folks. You can't rely on the government to do their jobs. I mean, that's just the reality behind all of this. Whether it's a bear or swatters who've entered your home, they will not step in to help you. Surprise, surprise. And if you're thinking you're having a bad day, there's a man named Justin Jones who is learning the hard way about having such a common name. His day's going a little worse just because of the simple fact that Justin Jones is being accused of having a DUI from about 20 years ago, and it's resulted in him not being able to get a driver's license. His driver's license has since suspended. But here's the real problem here. Justin Jones claims that he was actually never in New Mexico, the state claiming that he got that DUI. And now they're making him prove that the DUI isn't actually his. It's a little frustrating. Take a listen to clip 9.
The letter in the mail back in October, the beginning of October, that my license were suspended. That was a surprise.
Even more a surprise was why. A DUI in Santa Fe, New Mexico on Christmas Eve 2005, 20 years ago. Ever been to New Mexico?
Never been to New Mexico. Never driven through New Mexico. I never even stepped foot in the state off a plane.
Justin Jones is a high school administrator in Carroll County. He thought this would be cleared up with a visit to DDS back in October. Instead, he's been fighting for months to get his license back.
The burden of proof has been on me to prove that I wasn't that person that got a DUI 20 years ago in New Mexico.
First, he provided this stamped and sealed document from the court clerk in New Mexico stating he has no convictions there. But DDS told him that wasn't good enough. So New Mexico sent this letter that says, quote, this letter certifies that he does not currently have any holds on his driving record within our state. Furthermore, it is essential to clarify that the record under review pertains to a different individual who shares a similar name and date of birth. But DDS still won't restore his driver's license.
Me and my wife kind of celebrated before I left the house. When I got back, I was kind of defeated because, you know, they were still suspended.
It's now 2.5 months that Jones has not legally been allowed to drive.
The first week I was Ubering, but that got expensive pretty quickly.
DDS tells Channel 2 Action News in a statement, quote, New Mexico DMV sent the DUI electronically to the DDS and it was added to his record. We contacted New Mexico and requested they submit a negate to correct their error. Once the negate is received from them, then the DUI will be removed by DDS.
All right, so obviously that really sucks. That really does suck. The reality of it is the government sucks, and the fact that they can make such an error like that on a common name, which we all should be able to go, all right, that's obviously an issue. That's obviously a government-related issue. Yeah, that's deeply, deeply upsetting. Now, as we get ready to take callers, I'm waiting on that list right now, we're going to talk a little bit about this Mike Benz report, because Mike Benz is one of my favorites. Reporters out there who does these deep dives into very important topics. And we'll play a little bit of it because it's 2 hours long. But Mike Benz has been exposing how U.S. aid funds were being used to these so-called independent journalists who were claiming to be journalists, but it was being used to push out their narrative and attack their enemies. And he exposed all of this. Take a listen to clip 18 or 10.
He had a little bit of unfinished business when it came to this thing called the OCCRP. Just think of it as the Corruption Reporting Project. We uncovered this in a stream about a month ago, after news came out scandalizing this, you know, the largest group of investigative journalists in the world, another outlet did incredible investigative journalism showing that they actually received half of their funding from the State Department and USAID, and that the State Department actually had control over hiring and firing decisions of the world's largest investigative journalist consortium. And we discovered that in a stream about Reuters, if folks recall. And so there's this global topic of what I'll just call mercenary media for the state. And I think this is an important topic because understanding how the sausage gets made in terms of mercenary media for the state really helps, I think, you to understand the world of media around you in a way that's pretty unique. And the idea that this group, the Corruption Reporting Project, was conducting mercenary media for the U.S. State Department and was not actually independent journalists interested in corruption, but rather being paid $20 million, that's actually just in one of their cells, by the U.S. State Department in order to cook up evidence that could be used to seize state assets, to arrest government officials. It shows a really interesting role of the media in the whole of society alliance. We've been over this a million times. You guys all know the whole of society is government, private sector, civil society, and media, those four quadrants. And we found this internal USAID document on one of our streams where it showed USAID funding to the Corruption Reporting Project, independent journalists, and then it had an impact section. This is, again, on USAID.gov. Right here, .gov. So USAID, the U.S. government, is bragging here that them paying $20 million to independent journalists, to journalists, mercenary media for the state, netted $4.5 billion in fines and monies seized. That's an incredible return on investment. The U.S. government spends $20 million to write hit pieces. This results in the seizing of $4.5 billion. They turn $20 million into $4.5 billion because the investigative journalist hit pieces allowed them to take criminal action or civil action, resulting in $4.5 billion. That's an incredible return on investment. These mercenary media pieces for hire resulted in 548 policy changes. So they actually changed because of the reporting funded by the State Department in all of these countries, Central Europe. So that's going to be everything from Germany to Poland to Slovakia to the Czech Republic to the Eastern Partnership, Armenia, Belarus, Georgia, Moldova, Ukraine, as well as the Western Balkans. In all these countries, the State Department achieved 548 policy changes there because of the media hit pieces and news cycles and pressure generated by the media that was actually funded by the State Department. It induced 21 resignations and sackings, including a president and a prime minister. So they induced full-on regime change and got rid of 21 government officials in these dozen countries because of mercenary media hired by the state. And 456 right. arrests.
Let's jump in on this because he did a great job. It's a 2-hour long walkthrough. I don't have the full 2 hours, but man, oh man, Mike Benz, a great person, who I'd highly recommend you head on over to his X page, give him a follow, watch that video. He actually just made that video live. So, if you aren't a paid subscriber, you can now see it. It was something behind a paywall and now it is public. Let's get to some callers though. I think this is really interesting. My good old friend, Mr. Bill, is on the line and he wants to discuss the Pentagon. And I'm going to ask him about his best of 2025 moments so far. Bill, welcome to the show. As always, you are the man behind the Loomer fan club. And so it's an honor to have you on today.
Thank you, Brianna. This is awesome to get to call in today. This is my, I'm like becoming a regular caller here. I appreciate it.
Thank
you. So, you know, the topic, let's talk about our favorite moments of 2025. Initially, I was like, geez, what is my, are there any favorite moments? 2025 was kind of a bad year for a lot of political stuff. But there is one of my favorite moments. You and Laura Loomer getting the Pentagon press pass. And then when I saw you guys sitting in the front row together, that was awesome. And I didn't know that that was your first time meeting Laura. And that is so cool. So I know one of the stories I wanted to tell is the first time I met Laura. It was in New York in January of maybe 19. And the second time she was at Twitter, she brought people back to protest her. I was one of those people. So that was the first time I got to meet Laura in person. And when she was coming to the Airbnb where we were having our pre-meeting and so on, everyone was, you know, all in anticipation Laura's coming, and a lot of people were going to get to meet her for the first time. So, you know, me, Mr. Cool, I had to hang out in the back and not be, you know, like a fanboy. So finally she gets to me and I'm like, Laura, I can't even talk. Seriously. She goes, oh, so sweet. Come over to the couch and sit down. And we talked. That was so cool. But for 2025, seeing you guys get the Pentagon press passes and seeing you in the front row, I knew, I'll tell you what, and when I heard you were going to be at this initial meeting that was televised, I knew that you'd be sitting in the front row. I didn't know you guys would be sitting next to each other. So that was really awesome. It's a nice positive thing. We finally get some hard-hitting, honest people in there that we can trust. So thank you for taking that mission on.
Well, thank you, Bill. I know. So I got there super early, and it's because Matt, the producer of the show, was like, we're getting there early, Brianna. I was like, how early? And we got there. We were actually the first ones there, and we secured the best seat in the house. And then I saw Laura come walking in, and I was like, Laura, sit here. And so we were front and center, but she asked a bunch of great questions throughout that event. And it is an honor. It is an honor to be one of the media outlets covering the Pentagon. It really is amazing. There's more coming up in 2026, actually. We have a big trip planned, or I have a big trip planned just a couple weeks into the new year. So it will be a good one. And I look forward to breaking that all down. But Bill, you know, you do incredible work, and we're big fans of yours, and we appreciate your support as always. And Happy New Year, my friend. Thank you for calling in.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. All right, let's get to Nathan in Michigan. Nathan, Happy New Year. Welcome to the show.
Happy New Year, Brianna.
Hi, how are you?
Hear me okay? I'm fine. I just wanted to make sure you could hear me all right.
I could hear you. What's on your mind?
Good deal. Well, I will say it has been a good year for InfoWars, and I'm actually trying to be on the positive side of it. So, yeah, you going into the Pentagon has been a great thing, and the fact that InfoWars is still hanging in there through all the lawfare is great. And I got to tell you, from being an info warrior from basically 9/11 till now, the travel and the journey has been amazing, because I never in a million years thought us conspiracy theorists would start getting ahead. After 2017, when they come in and swooped in and censored everybody, I just really felt like it was over. But it's amazing to see where we're at now. And I just wanted to put this out. I tagged you in a post today for an account that's named Steffi, and it's at Steppieltinck. And she has been working with a election integrity group here called Locus Standi. And there's like 90 investigators, and they have been exposing major fraud with – so our votes all go down to Lansing, Michigan. They don't get counted in our areas. So they're and nothing's matching up with all the clerks. And they've been exposing this, and they've been trying to get the word out there. But for some reason, the Michigan Election Integrity Group and or committee, nobody will contact them and talk to them. So I just wanted to tag you in that and see if you guys, and I tagged Liz Harrington in it, and I've been tagging a bunch of people in it, and I just hope you guys could help get that word out, and we just hope that, you know, we could get a little more push for the light to get shined on Michigan for election fraud. So, but besides that, I hope you have a great new year. And
Nathan, thank you. Yeah, no, same to you. And you know, since we have you on hold, do you want to kind of walk through a little bit of the details? So we have about 3 minutes. I could let you kind of take it away from there. I'm scrolling through my Twitter feed right now trying to find the tweet. So if you want, you're more than welcome to kind of walk us through specifically what you know regarding election fraud in Michigan.
Oh, boy. I didn't have
no pressure. I'm scrolling. I'm looking for your tweet. I promise. I'm like, where is it? It's somewhere here.
So just search for at Steffi Felt INCK. And I either that or just I tagged you in it. I don't know. But I'll tell you what it is they are. Oh, let's see here. They have, so this is her post. Over 90 citizens in Michigan requested by FOIA election records for their local jurisdictional clerks and compared them with the Michigan Bureau of Elections SOS certified data and the USPS. Discrepancies in individual voter histories include multi-voter IDs, wrong voting jurisdictions, wrong registration dates, no timestamps, inaccuracies found only on SOS records. So all of our records in Michigan, they don't, like I said, they don't do the stuff. So I live in a small little township. That township of 700 people goes to the SOS to get counted. And when it gets there, it's all changing. It's being altered somehow. So there are clerks that have kept their voter data, like Tina Peters, in the state of Michigan, and the SOS has actually went after. And my Republican delegate here, It was a couple of years ago. And like I said, we've been trying to get this out, and for some reason, the Michigan media, even the alternative media in Michigan, is kind of a joke. And they won't get any of that information out. And we had single ID voters in my little township. We have just, it's a rural area. But when it goes to the SOS, we have multiple ID voters on our rolls. So some's getting manipulated and twisted there, but they have all this evidence. And so nobody is actually going out and asking them about it. Nobody will interview them. And when they do want, you know, they'll reach out, do you want to come on for a podcast or whatever? They kind of jerk them around. But Stephanie has been trying to get out there pretty good. And my election Republican delegate for my township had election officials showing up at her house and harassing her because she was questioning all this data and she was getting all this FOIA information. Mm-hmm. And so it's been a real struggle to get that election. And I don't understand why Michigan, like, why is President Trump, you know, congratulating Gretchen Whitmer when we have a corrupt agency, we have a corrupt governor, and we have a corrupt SOS, Jocelyn Benson, which has allowed illegals to vote in our elections, which was proven, and so on. So,
yeah,
that's what I got.
Yeah, well, Nathan, it's very corrupt in Michigan. I've covered, obviously, because I'm more on the criminal side of things, so I cover a lot of criminal trials and what have you there. So I know you got a bunch of people who are definitely corrupt elected officials, and I was not happy when I heard the president speaking so highly of Whitmer because she stalls political prisoners in that fake Governor Whitmer kidnapping hoax. So, yeah, not a fan of her. But, you know, Nathan, thank you for sharing that with us. We'll take a look at the tweet later. And Happy New Year. We appreciate you calling in. All right, folks, if you're on hold right now, stay put because we got a lot more to dive into with the callers in just a bit. We're going to hit a little commercial break and then come back and then start taking those calls. And we're trying to go over your New Year's. Maybe you have like a resolution that you kind of want to figure out, a goal, whatever it is. I don't know. I want to be positive. So let's be positive together. Give us a call right now. Again, folks, we're going over what you're looking forward to in 2026 in the next portion of the program. So if you'd like to join the show, make sure you give us a call, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. Also, it's the New Year's. We've just extended that buy one, get one free sale right now over at the alexjonesstore.com. Select supplements are on sale. Buy one, get one free for a limited time. A couple more hours left in that. So if you haven't done so already, now is the time to head on over to the shop and make sure you snag these offers. Cause again, when you do buy one, get one free, you are getting a better deal than I've ever seen thus far on the website. So take advantage of this. Couple more hours left. Don't hold off. Do it right now over at the alexjonesstore.com. All right, we're taking callers again in just a few moments. If you'd like to join the show, 877-789-2539. That is 877-789-2539. We'd love to hear from you.
I'm going to say this right now. We have survived and battled the federal and state courts, the Democratic Party, the whole nine yards. And we have great products, and I appreciate all your support. But 70%+ of the money that comes in is the legal cost. If we didn't have those battles going, we'd be 24 hours a day, as I've always planned, and totally kicking ass. But it's part of the cost of the fight in this information war, and I appreciate you keeping us here. But with everything going on, we've got about a $300,000 underage right now and need to have the money for payroll and bandwidth and all the things we're doing. This is, and it's not a Chicken Little thing or the sky's falling or boy who cried wolf. You've seen the attacks. You've seen the news. You've seen us battling. You know, God, you know, pulls us out right at the last minute. And I know we're going to get massive support of the successful shutting this down. People are going to be, whoa. But regardless, the products are insane. But at InfoWarsStore.com, with the bankruptcy and the receiver, they don't let us get a lot of new product, all that. We have the collectible limited edition Save InfoWars posters. We have a chance at an auction next month with the state. If they don't let it be a real auction, the good guys can't buy InfoWars, we'll be shut down. And I just want to fight to the end, and whatever happens, happens. But we have the collectible posters for $25, unsigned, $100 signed. That's a lot of money, I know. It's, the point is, it's a fundraiser. You're opting in to do that. It's beautiful posters, three of them. But if you want to just give a straight donation on the front page of InfoWarsStore.com, you can just give a straight donation. The credit card fees are like 4% for us. And then we get 96% of the money to actually run the operation. So we're winning in court. We're having a lot of big effects. I'm not going to spend hours explaining it all to you, but we're down to the last round here right now, and we need the funds. And you know the show delivers the truth. It has a major effect. We influence the White House, creating a lot of good stuff happening. It's a valuable thing in the info war to keep on air. So go to InfoWarsStore.com, and I'm asking you humbly for a straight donation, $5, $50, $100. Give a straight donation if you want, or if you want one of the posters, signed or unsigned, as a memento that you stood up for the Republic at a key time. We got a little bit of the fish oil back in, a little bit of the bodies back in. That's selling out quickly. The receiver let us do that. But none of this goes to the plaintiffs. None of this goes to the bad guys. It's literally in the red right now, okay, with what we got projected in the next month. I need the funds now. Please make a donation. This is the critical time. TheAlexJonesStore.com is not owned by me. If InfoWars gets shut down, that's our sponsor for the new network that's already been built, but it's also funding InfoWars, and there's not enough coming in. So you can support either way. TheAlexJonesStore.com, the Ultramethylene Blue, the Shilajit, the Irish CMOS, the Bovine Colostrum, all the t-shirts, that's great. But if you want to straight up support, know it all goes to it, make a donation or get one of the posters at InfoWarsStore.com. It's up to you. Please take action now.
Wake up in a world trying to drain your light. Screams got you numb, keep you foggy at night. They want you tired, unfocused, slow. About to crack the code, now the voltage flows. Clean energy, no crash, no fade. Mind sharp like a blade when the system plays games. From the gym to the grind to the war for your mind. This ain't luck, nah, this is designed. Ultimate power.
Something even better than Turbo Force, filled with incredible ingredients, ladies and gentlemen. Ultimate Power ignites mental clarity and focus, clean, sustained energy, enhanced blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. Ultimate Power at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
All right, welcome back. We are doing the final lap of the third hour. This is the final time we're doing this in 2025, so we're excited that you're all jumping on board with us. We're taking your calls, of course, because, well, let's recap 2025, and that's what we're looking to do. So positive energy on the call line, that's what we're looking for today. Let's turn to Darletta as our first guest on right now. Darletta, I hear you want to talk about the suspect involved, what the government says, in the J6 pipe bombing. Or pop bombs, I guess I should say, that were laid out for the DNC and the RNC. So welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hey, they're going by the cell tower pings, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what if the pipe bomber didn't carry a cell phone? They don't really have squat, right? I mean, if they're going by cell tower pings, anybody could have been driving by and using their cell phones. But what if the pipe bomber didn't have a cell phone? And what infuriates me is because this kid is autistic. I'm an aunt of two autistic children. And you can pretty much talk them into anything, even though that they know it's wrong. They look to you as being a superior, an elder, and they'll do what you ask them to do under pressure. So it really infuriates me because they're going off all this cell tower pings and shit, excuse my language, but I mean, it infuriates me. It really does.
Yeah. You're not alone. Yeah, you're not alone. Honestly, when I saw this, they're saying that it's actively bouncing off of the area. And again, the area is in question because this is not just like a specific location. There's a radius that this creates, and he's a door dasher. So ultimately, he could be in the area doing delivery. So that's why I was always, as soon as I saw the indictment, I said, oh, let's just hold off a bit here because this could be a mistake. So that's that. Also, like, it just doesn't seem to be enough evidence. Now, I've covered murder cases where they wanted to see limit their suspect pool. And so they do see who was in the area pinning off of certain towers. And given when they maybe, you know, grab up someone in a murder case, maybe at a certain location and then the body's disposed of, then it would make sense because you're in multiple locations and only really a specific person who would, let's say it's a kidnapping, kidnaps an individual from one location that disposes of the body at another location, which is miles away. Then yeah, that would make sense to use the cell phone towers to kind of pin down the suspects. But yeah, I'm totally with you on it. It didn't make any sense to me. And that's why when I was reading the criminal complaint, I didn't want to jump to any conclusions and assume that this was the individual behind this. And like you just said, and I want to kind of remind your audience, I tried to get it in before we went to commercial break, but people with autism, they do tend to, when pressure is applied, admit to things that they didn't actually do. And it's a fear thing for them, obviously, as many people would be worried. So that's the reason why it's so important for them to have someone who could represent them in the room. And so not to have an attorney or a loved one there is, for me, is concerning completely. And for those at home right now who are worried, you know, I have someone who I dearly love, and I've prepared for something like this to potentially happen to them. Their local county, I've met with the sheriff. The sheriff is well aware of the individual's disabilities. They have a card that they carry on them, which says they are not waiving their rights and that they do want to speak to their attorney, as well as it also cites an emergency contact as well. So that's kind of how we push back on this from happening to people that we love and care for. But just throwing that out there, it's something probably everyone should do, is to reach out to your local law enforcement agency and get that on the books, because it's not something bad to get onto the books. Because something like this does happen in court, a confession like that would likely be tossed out, because again, they would be like, all right, officers, you all knew that there was something on file for this guy, and to have continued to push for an admission to something that you clearly knew was a disability here and he needed someone to speak up for him is unacceptable. So I also don't like the fact, and I'll let you weigh on this too, you know, sadly, Pirro, who's obviously the U.S. attorney in D.C., put out that he confessed, and she put out a tweet regarding that, and that taints the jury pool. Let's say they throw out the confession. Well, if there's a juror who's watching this tweet go up, now the juror probably in the back of their head knows, well, he eventually at some point confessed to this because the U.S. attorney put this out there. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm with you on that. But there should have been no questioning at all of this kid until he had a representative there.
Yeah.
Because of his, you know, his autism. It's crazy. But, I mean, Oh, let me give you another note here. I got a suggestion. Why don't they take, if Europe wants to fight Russia so bad, why don't they take all their immigrants, all their Islamists, put them on the front line over there, Ukraine, since they got to replace all their guys, and let Russia crush them and be done with it. That's what I think. Anyways, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate you doing just that. All right, let's get to more of our callers. Let's get to Lou in Dallas. Lou, welcome to the show.
Hi, Brianna. Happy New Year.
Hi. Happy New Year.
This is Lou from the Nimrod Pod on X. I'm calling in regards to the nationwide Somali fraud scheme. Now, obviously, this fraud was first exposed in Minnesota. This is turning to be a nationwide issue all across the country. Massive fraud is now being uncovered in Ohio and Texas. And as you know, Brianna, Tim Walz is on the hot seat now as he's under investigation by the DOJ since this fraud happened right under his nose. So I would assume Governor DeWine of Ohio and Governor Abbott of Texas will also be under fire as well. Thankfully, we have great, fantastic America First gubernatorial candidates in Ohio and Minnesota with Casey Putsch and Mike Lindell respectfully running in 2026. But Greg Abbott is running unchallenged in the 2026 Texas governor's race. So my question for you, Brianna, is why is nobody demanding a real America First populist governor in Texas? Why are we settling for Greg Abbott, who has allowed the Jewish Islamic Alliance to absolutely dismantle the great state of Texas? I think the great Christian people of Texas deserve a governor that reflects their character and shares their core values. So I'm asking you, why is nobody talking about this as a fellow Texan?
Yeah, well, I'm new to the game. So this is one of my very first questions when I got here, though, because it doesn't make any sense. He obviously doesn't represent Texan values. And I'm glad you're asking this question because, you know, now he's jumping into fight in regards to the Islamic takeover that's happening here in Texas as well. And he's trying to take credit for the hard work that so many Christian conservatives groups have been doing on the ground and just trying their best to bring attention to this issue. So it's a good one. It's a good one to ask. Now, I've asked this several times and he's well funded is what I'm told. He's got a great financial backing. He's got an arsenal of campaign funds. And so that's been his greatest ally. Again, Texans don't really like Greg Abbott. So it's quite confusing to me when I sit back and see what's going on here, because I've never actually understood why this is dragged on for as long as it's dragged on for. It doesn't make any sense to me. And it would be great to get a conservative to go out there and push back and to get a real candidate. I remember my good friend Chad Prather was running. Sadly, he didn't win that primary, but it's tons of money is what I was told by people who were working on Prather's campaign that's being poured into Abbott's funds. And that's a lot. That really does lead to a primary victory. But again, he doesn't fight like we need him to fight. And he pretends now that he's up for re-election that he's going to take on a lot of these issues. You know, we're watching all these Texas politicians come out now. And all of a sudden, they've got a lot to say in regards to the Islamic takeover here. And they're all jumping on board and speaking out against it. But they've been in these positions of power to block foreign entities from purchasing land here in Texas. And they haven't done it because it wasn't very popular. They weren't really polling for it. When they were, they didn't see it as being popular, and so they stayed away from it. But now that Texans, thanks to great independent journalism, are becoming more and more aware of it, well, then you see the Greg Abbotts, you see the Chip Roys jumping up and saying, oh, we need to put an end to this. But this has been ongoing for years now, and they've done nothing to actually stop it. And I think Texas has a deeper issue. When we talk about the Texas legislature as well, they're supposed to be in a majority, a conservative majority here in Texas. And it was one of the reasons why I moved here was to help those who are actual conservatives fight back and push back, because it's not an actual conservative majority. You see, Democrats have mastered running on Republican tickets and then getting into these positions and being able to push the left's agenda. And that's the reason why we can't get anything passed. You know, and I'm digging into this. It's going to be my project for this weekend, actually. I don't know if you're aware, Lou. In Texas now, ivermectin is supposed to be sold over the counter, so you don't need a prescription for it. That's what it sounded like when they passed it in the state legislature, and it sounded really good. But I've been popping around to pharmacies locally in Dallas, actually, trying to ask for ivermectin. And even in Austin, I went to two pharmacies there, and they won't sell it to you without a script. Now, why is that? Because Texas lawmakers didn't make it mandatory. They gave it as an option. So obviously, these pharmacies, which a lot of them are lefties, aren't going to do that. They don't want to give you ivermectin without a prescription. And so even though it sounds great and they got all the headlines, the reality of it is there's no behind push to make this a reality for Texans so that they could just walk into a pharmacy, purchase ivermectin, and then leave. So yeah, we've got a rhino issue, and they pretend, as you probably remember as well, oh, we're working on getting rid of the property tax. Well, as we had Brian Harrison on the show, who's a state representative here, he said, no, that's not true. When you read through it, it's not exactly what they're trying to sell you on. So we have a rhino problem in Texas, Greg Abbott being a big issue there. He was actually bragging too, and not to kind of just release all this stress that I've had over this guy, but he's also one of the people who didn't fight back when it came to the immigration issue. Like, he was like, oh, we're going to fund helping build this little portion of the border wall here, right? But he didn't push back aggressively enough. And now we're seeing the numbers that the majority of the arrests being made in by DHS are actually here in Texas when it comes to illegals. And yes, because we're so close to the border, that would make sense. But we should have done a better job at fighting back and not allowing these invaders into our country in the first place, especially because other states are willing to send their guardsmen to Texas to help us defend the border. There could have been a more aggressive approach, and sadly, the governor decided not to take that up. Maybe there's some World Economic Forum ties there that a lot of people are very well aware of, some might want to throw out there. But he's been a really crappy governor, and Texas deserves better, and I hope that they can get better. But man, oh man, when he announced that he was running for re-election, I was not happy. Is fired up, and I really hope he doesn't win, but the money is behind him right now. So I'm not very hopeful for that. But Lou, I'm hopeful that we'll win over Texas and hopefully get a lot of these conservatives involved. That's what's needed right now. So Lou, happy new year, and thank you for calling, and we appreciate your calls, of course. Let's go to Jacob in Oregon. Jacob, welcome to the show. I hear you want to do a year recap. So welcome to the program.
Well, good morning, Brianna. It's not so much as a year recap as I'm just, you know, I'm excited, you know, scrolling social media and stuff. You see that a lot of young people are finding their way back to Jesus, and there's this revival of you know, Generation Z, and it's just really, you know, it's good to see. You know, it gives me hope that the upcoming generations are going to be ready to be there to create change, you know, the kind of change that we need to see, because we see a lot of inaction, you know, these days, especially from, like, you look at Democrats, you know, they are full of action. They are shakers and movers. They're getting stuff done. And it seems like largely Republicans are just willing to sit on their hands and watch things happen, you know, and you know, pontificate on all these, you know, oh, they're trying to take your guns, and they're trying to do this, and they're trying to do that, but we're here for change, and we're here for, you know, making a difference, and it just seems like they sit on their hands overall. And so, you know, to have faith in Christ and say, you know, we know how it all ends, you know, I like to see that in the younger generation.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's a lot of good coming from it, and I like that you're focused on that, because I think that's really, really important. So, yeah, no, I'm with you on that. And it's good to see people are waking up. And, you know, maybe, you know, sadly, obviously, the Charlie Kirk assassination did do just that. It did wake up a lot of people, a lot of young people. And we saw a nice wave of inspiration with the Turning Point campuses now, or the groups opening up all across the country throughout high schools and colleges. So it's got me feeling hopeful as we step into 2026. So this is good news. And Jacob, happy new year. And thank you for calling to the show. We greatly appreciate it. I would like to turn to another positive story from Rick in Connecticut. Rick, welcome to the show.
Hi, happy new year, Brianna.
Happy new year. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, I just wanted to share some positive news, and I think there's a lot of good things turning around. I was pardoned by Trump in January, so I got to stay with my family for Christmas and, you know, get back to my community, back to coaching and everything else. And it's everything's a blessing. And I think everything getting exposed now is huge. And like Alex was saying yesterday, it's a huge turning point, I believe. I mean, it's just opening up people's eyes, and all the memes going around. I 100% don't think they're funny, because it is a war that's going on right now. But I believe it's going to help wake up a lot of people. And we know they're doing this in all the states, too. So I just look at it as a huge positive momentum and a game changer, really.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. No, it is.
How do you think about that? Or what do you think about that?
No, I think you're right, Rick. And I kind of want to get to your J6 pardon part, because I think that's amazing. First off, congratulations. You know, we were all praying for that. That was the big point of my push to push President Trump into winning this election. You know, you and so many other great patriots were wrongfully targeted. And so it's good to hear that you've been pardoned, relieved of this stress. Do you mind, were you officially convicted and were you sentenced to prison? What was your status in all of that when you were pardoned?
Yeah, I was in jail. They were moving us around like crazy at that point, from D.C., Grayson, Kentucky, to Pike County, and I ended up in Philadelphia when I got the pardon. And we didn't know if it was going to happen or not. We were very hopeful it was. And basically just being attacked for 4 years by the government was crazy. I mean, you already know, you guys already know the lawfare that goes on, listen to lawsuits, quad S, being raided by the FBI, all that. So, I mean, it was, and then just my wife and my kids having to go through it all too. But it did nothing but make us stronger in the end. And I'm very blessed and just always keeping my faith in God and Jesus Christ. Helped me through the whole situation. And that's what I think we really need is to keep our focus on and our attention to, because with faith and with God and Jesus Christ, anything is possible. And I think 2026 is going to be a huge year. And I keep praying for accountability and that President Trump just keeps pushing and going in the right direction. And I know he needs our help to keep him on track sometimes, but I really do believe that with constant prayer, we're going to get through this thing. And America's going to come back stronger than ever. We just got to keep exposing that evil.
Amen, my friend. Yes, we do. And you know, we're going to do that over here on InfoWars. That's something that we are very dedicated to doing. But, you know, Rick, I'm glad you're home. I love talking to J6ers and cutting the backstory of a lot of it. You know, I've tried covering as much as I can. Sadly, there's so many cases and so many people were wrongfully targeted in all of this. So it's good to hear you're home, and we want accountability though. And heading into 2026, I'm going to make sure that we get louder about it, because there needs to be settlements, financial settlements, and the people who were involved in all of this need to be disbarred. And they need to be stripped of any practices, licenses, whatever you want to do. They can't practice law again. What they did was completely unacceptable. And the abuse, too, within the prisons being shifted around, it's obviously also a part of the lawfare and the targeting. So, yeah, I'm with you on that. So, Merry, I guess I shouldn't say Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. Happy Easter, if I'm Joe Biden. Thank you for calling, though. We appreciate it. And I'm proud and happy to hear that you're home. So, thank you, my friend. Good to hear from you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's turn to Joe. Joe, I hear you want to be a little critical, so let's hear it.
Hey, Brianna. Yeah, so I guess it's obvious crime pays under Trump. I mean, everybody's running around saying, how come this isn't being done? Well, to me, I just sum it up and say crime definitely pays under Donald Trump. And to me, I guess that's what you get when you vote a gumshoe in the president. And like Mike Benz would say, same crap, same toilet, Brianna. And I you said Mike Benz is your friend. He's definitely interesting. And I can't wait for his next upload.
Yeah. Well, Mike, he does so much digging into a lot of topics, and so I appreciate him for that. You know, when it comes to President Trump, obviously we would all like more individuals arrested. I've been very vocal about that. I know it ticks off all the right people, though, when I put out that tweet every day that says still no Democrats have been arrested. The DOJ probably would like to argue that and pretend like, you know, James Comey and Tish James are those who should get credit for. But I would say that's the bare minimum. And that's not even people who have participated in any of these serious crimes that we have outlined in this, as you could see. I mean, Comey wasn't even a Democrat. So yeah, I'm with you on this. It's frustrating. I don't know if the president's as frustrated as us. Maybe he's taking a nicer approach to this. But I'm with you on this, Joe. I'm fired up. I'm angry about it. And as we head into the year, we're still going to keep calling for this. But, you know, there's constantly when we sit here and say this.
Yeah, there's no bottom to it. I mean, there truly isn't. There isn't a bottom to it. I mean, he said, oh, you know, the woman that's locked up, the golden mom, and all these people. And again, crime pays under Donald Trump. That's
well, nothing's happened to Tina Peters. Yeah, Joe, I would like to see, because I don't know. I mean, he says he wants her freed, and legally he can't get her released because it's state court. That case was heard in and state charges, but I would like to see funding pulled. Why not? I mean, they're corrupt. Why do we continue to fund them? Pull the funding. I mean, let's get into a fight. If it was a Democrat and they felt this passionately about one of their own being held back, yeah, you'd pull funding. That's what they would do. So, Joe, I'm with you on that. We need to do more to help these people out. I think Tina Peters is innocent, though. I've spoken to the woman. We've had discussions about this. I've seen her at these speaking events about election fraud. She's done a great job at outlining everything. Tina Peters should be freed. She was being targeted. And, you know, there's no way to do that the right way, as Democrats would pretend like there is. There isn't. You have to grab the evidence before they destroy the evidence. And that's what Tina Peters did. So, Joe, thank you for calling. Hopefully 2026 is more positive coming our way. That's what I'm looking forward to. But for Matt in Wyoming, I hear Matt has some positive information he'd like to share in regards to silver. So welcome to the show, Matt.
Hey, Brianna, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. I just wanted to tell you that Kirk Elliott, you know, he's on a lot. And he's, you know, doing predictions on silver and everything. And so on a positive note, because I could do plenty negative, but on a positive note, like, I've taken his predictions on silver and everything, and I didn't actually buy anything from Kirk Elliott, but because options, and I'm not giving any advice here or anything like that, but like, my mom gave me $2,300. I threw in $2,000 with her, and that $2,300 that she gave to me, I invested in options. I started investing on October 2nd, and between October 2nd and now, silver is down quite a bit today, so it's probably less than this. But as of yesterday, it was like I had made her $171,000 off of that $2,300. So Kirk Elliott's advice, and I think that, like, going forward, you know, predicting probably $100 an ounce silver, $150. I think that it's definitely in the working. So yeah, it's a positive thing.
Yeah, well, Matt, you know, I actually did. I'm looking for it because I actually did purchase silver from Kirk Elliott, and this was probably maybe 2 years ago. I made a purchase with him, and I actually have to go take that in because I want to see how much it's worth now. But yeah, no, I mean, he did a great job at predicting it, and I was glad that I jumped on board. I also have followed Kirk, and I've had him on my podcast before, so he's great at that stuff. So, yeah, we love having him on the shows. I know he's on Alex's show all the time. He's on yesterday, too. So he's one of the best when it comes to that. So thank you for the positive. I also want to tell our audience, too, I used to, and this could be kind of sad heading into 2026, now that Nancy Pelosi's retiring, because she was my unofficial financial advisor. So I followed the moves her and her husband were making. And she was a great advisor. She was a great unofficial advisor. And so I'm going to miss that in 2026. But Matt, thank you so much. All right. For everyone else who's on hold right now, I just want to thank you for calling in. We are running low on time right now. So thank you so much for calling. We greatly appreciate it. And we hope you all have a great, happy new year. We'll see you in 2026, of course. But in the meantime, I want to remind you all that over at thealexjonesstore.com is how you could support us. When you make a purchase over at thealexjonesstore.com, you're helping us stay on air. You're supporting our team as well, so we greatly appreciate it. But most importantly, as we step into the new year, you're also helping your personal health. I know a lot of you always make that a top priority in the new year. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. It's buy one, get one free on select supplements, which is an amazing, amazing deal. Also tonight, Alex is staying around. He's going to be welcoming the new year with a couple of great guests. So make sure you tune in to their New Year's Eve special from 9 p.m. Eastern time all the way till the ball drops. I believe it's midnight. So make sure you do just that. Head on over. Make sure you put it on your schedule. Tune in. Celebrate the new year with us here on InfoWars. All right. A lot happening over here. Don't go anywhere. The Alex Jones Store. No. That's next.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win, but regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it and support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.